you're all joining us today. Been a crazy one. We're excited you're jumping on board with us, keeping our eye on what's happening in Washington, D.C. today. A lot going on over there. We'll get to that in just a few moments. But I'm back. Thanks to Rob Dew for filling in for me yesterday. As many of you guys probably saw, if you follow me on X, you may have seen I was traveling yesterday with the press team over at the Pentagon. It was actually really, really cool. I will walk you through what happened yesterday over at the Pentagon. I mean, as you guys can see here, it was a jam-packed day with press secretary. Well, I'll just say the secretary at the Department of War, Pete Hegseth, traveling all around. Lockheed Martin was the first place we went over to. And then from there, we actually went over to SpaceX, and he met with Elon Musk. I'll bring you the details on all of that because it was actually pretty freaking cool, not going to lie. Not going to lie. Probably not the most professional journalistic way to phrase it, but it was pretty cool. I'll bring you the details in just a bit for today's show. We're also waiting to see Hillary and Bill Clinton to see if they come onto the Hill. I don't know if they're going to do so. Many of you guys know it's been a back and forth. They've been changing the date, but today's supposed to be the day where they're supposed to come forward and speak with the chairman, James Comer. Then it's supposed to be about the Epstein stuff. We'll see if it actually happens. I have seen them skip it out before. This time it's supposed to be a little bit different, though, because if they do skip out, guess what? We're told criminal referrals will happen. So don't hold your breath, though. Don't hold your breath. We're also following a couple of stories. I know a lot of people were talking about this yesterday, that there were potentially direct energy weapons used in Venezuela, as many of you guys know, and Nicolas Maduro was captured. It was very, very interesting because obviously they had no idea what was happening on the ground, those in Venezuela, the Cubans who were there protecting him and others, obviously the military. And so we're hearing that there was potentially these direct energy weapons that were used. Now, we've covered this before. As many of you guys know, we had Steve Baker on this show who detailed how he thinks it's also been utilized as well against American citizens. Now, of course, there's no actual physical evidence when you utilize directed energy weapons, but there are symptoms, and they are quite strange. We'll get to that in a little bit. We'll also be talking about, there was a Wall Street Journal article out, and it's not looking good if it's true, but the AG, Ms. Pam Bondi, according to the report, we'll get to it in a little bit, but things aren't looking too good for her. President Trump is getting very frustrated. And there's a lot of reasons to be frustrated, obviously, so we'll get into that a little bit, too. But there's a lot of reasons to be a little fired up with the U.S. attorney. We'll be also caught following the latest from the FBI firings. The FBI claimed that they fired everyone a part of the Arctic Frost investigations. And you guys have known last week I detailed specifically for all of you how a lot of the key players in the J6 persecutions are still employed by both the FBI and the DOJ. But President Trump put out a post yesterday about the Arctic Frost FBI agents. And you'll be surprised by the numbers that Tom Fitton's throwing out there right now as to how many people have been tossed from the agency and how little it is given the fact that they have thousands of employees. So buckle up. We got a lot to discuss in just a bit. We'll also be having a bunch of really cool guests on today's show. Liz Harrington, the former spokeswoman for President Trump, will be joining us to react to a lot of the lawfare stuff. Obviously, we're looking for accountability. Liz Harrington knows that better than anyone, too. She's advocating for it on her front. She's also advocating for election fraud to end. She wants massive amounts of, just we can say reforms, I guess, at this point, to our election systems. And there's a lot of groundbreaking news that took place over the weekend, so I want to make sure we got to that and that you didn't miss out on that. Plus, we'll be joined by Annie Cyrus. Annie Cyrus is an Iranian American journalist. She's from Iran. She's going to be here to break down the latest because she knows exactly what's happening right now in Iran. She still has her sources there. She still does incredible reporting. And it just is incredible to hear what's been going on. Also, Kellen McGovern, McGovern Jones is going to be joining the show today. This is going to be interesting given the fact that this is a Daily Express reporter. And specifically enough, there's something very interesting going on right now in the area in Texas. H-1B visas. A lot of them. Kellen will be joining us in just a little bit to kind of walk us through the latest going on right now in Irving, Texas. So buckle up, we got more to discuss in just a bit.
Are you tired of stubborn fat that just won't budge no matter how hard you diet? Well, let me introduce you to Ultimate Burn, the most powerful science-backed fat-torching formula available today. Inside every capsule of Ultimate Burn is 200 milligrams of GlucoVantage dihydroberberine, a supercharged form of berberine that clinical studies show slashes insulin resistance, blocks new fat storage, and helps your body burn fat for fuel. Then we crank the heat with a massive 120 milligrams of Calorie Burn GP Grains of Paradise, packing a full 15 milligrams of active 6-paradol. Human trials prove it fires up your brown fat, ramping your daily calorie burn by up to 200 extra calories a day. Then we finish it with cinnamon polyphenols and bioperin to make sure every milligram hits your system hard. The result is faster fat loss, smaller waist, better blood sugar, and energy that lasts all day. Ignite your results with the real deal. Grab Ultimate Burn now and watch your body finally start burning fat like it's supposed to. Stock is limited. Get yours before it's gone. It's Ultimate Burn. Light the fire at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning. Welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Happy Tuesday. Oh, it's been a little crazy for me. I hope you are able to enjoy your week so far. Thank you to Rob Dew for filling in for me yesterday. As many of you guys probably saw, he did an incredible job filling in, but most importantly, it was a bit of a crazy day for me. I was traveling with Pete Hegseth's team, the Department of War Secretary, and it was very, very, I mean, I was just saying before, it was very, very cool. We'll go through the details in just a little bit, but I do appreciate Rob filling in because there was a lot going on. You know, we went to, obviously, if you follow me on X, you saw that we went to Lockheed Martin, which was really cool, and we also went over, we got a cool little tour of it, too. And then we also went over to SpaceX yesterday where, Hegseth met up with Elon Musk and, it was a jam-packed day for you, for me, mainly for me. Would I tell you that Brownsville doesn't have any outgoing flights after like 5 o'clock? They like literally shut down. I think it was 6:30 last night. So, it was a bit chaotic for me driving back from Brownsville, Texas yesterday. It was a long drive. It was a beautiful drive, but it was a drive. So buckle up. We got 3 hours of groundbreaking news anyone's here else to dive into. There's so many incredible stories that are going on right now that the media is not going to cover, specifically what happened in Venezuela. As many of you guys know, I don't think anyone's really talking about it, but there are reports that directed energy weapons were utilized in that capture of Nicolas Maduro. We'll walk you through the latest report. Obviously, those are the types of things where you're not going to have any physical pieces of evidence. But obviously, this is something that's kind of, you know, expected. I mean, you know, we had Steve Baker on the program when Steve Baker broke his report. And he thinks, according to his source, that directed energy weapons were utilized on January 6th. And so, you know, now we're looking at what happened in Venezuela and you look at the reports, you're like, wow, the military had no idea that these people were in their country. They only had like a 3-minute heads up. Well, that's kind of strange, wouldn't that be? So it's quite possible. It truly, truly is quite possible. We'll dig into the details of that. We'll also talk about a Wall Street Journal article that just dropped yesterday as well. According to them, the President of the United States, Donald Trump, is not happy with Pam Bondi. He's not happy. How could he be? How could he be? I mean, we're hearing trickles of there's possibly a grand jury in Florida right now. Okay, cool. But when you compare it to the action of the Biden regime, when they were ready to go out there and start sweeping people off their feet and dragging them off into the D.C. gulag, it was a much rapid response than what we're seeing now. So we'll dive into that. Well, let's talk about the FBI, because the FBI, the director, Kash Patel, has come out saying that he has fired those part of Arctic Frost, obviously. But is it enough? Is it enough? And we're going to walk through the numbers, because, again, we don't really get exact numbers from the agency itself. But Tom Fitton's all over it. He just dropped something that I think you really should be paying attention to in regards to the firings that have taken place over at the FBI. So we'll dive into that in a little bit. But right now we're keeping our eye on Hillary and Bill Clinton. And if you're wondering why today's a special day, well, that's because they're supposed to be making their way to the Hill. And whether they do so or not, that is truly up to them. But, you know, they're supposed to make an in-person appearance right now. James Comer is obviously the one who summons them forward to come forward and to testify. So we're waiting to see if they actually do show up. Now, obviously, that's not going to probably happen. They have not done this before, or they have not showed up. So we'll keep our eye on that. But again, that is what's expected for today. We're also keeping our eye on a couple of other things. President Trump is heading over to Detroit, Michigan today. The president is participating in a visit and a plant tour. Waiting to see specifically which plant they're referring to there. The president's also expected to be delivering like a speech, the Detroit Economy, or Economic, I should say, Club. And that's expected around 2 p.m. Eastern time today. So we got our eyes on that. We also got our eyes on some breaking news that Fox News just dropped a couple of minutes ago. According to them, the Trump administration has announced the termination of the temporary protected status for Somalians, which obviously has impacted thousands of Somalians and brought them into our country, tragically, of course. Now, that will no longer allow them protected status here in this country right now. And as of March 17th, they will have to get out. Now, whether they do so or not is on them, obviously. We all know how this all plays out, right? They usually don't go. They usually don't. So it's up to the Trump administration to get rid of them then. All right, so let's talk about what happened yesterday, because yesterday was a pretty cool day, I must say. Yesterday's my first time traveling with the Department of War. Just such a badass name. But yesterday I was traveling with both the Secretary, Pete Hegseth, and his team, and it was pretty cool, not going to lie. I flew with them to SpaceX. We got to that a little bit, but first, our first destination was in Fort Worth. Lockheed Martin was the first place we went over to. And it was very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. As many of you guys might have saw, I was covering it extensively. If you don't follow me on X, make sure you do, at Brianna Morello. But I was posting the videos of Hegseth underneath a F-35, signing it. He was down there for quite some time. I don't know exactly what he wrote, but he was down signing that F-35 for a massive chunk of time. Now, obviously, you know, Hegseth is hyper-focused on making sure that our military's in, I guess we'll just say, tip-top shape, and that all of the wrongs that were done over the last 4 years are corrected, because obviously the Biden regime made us have a weaker military. And as the secretary repeatedly said, no more men in dresses. No more men in dresses. Now, it was pretty cool because, you know, Lockheed Martin had their executives meet with Hegseth. And, you know, we kind of, as the media, we were able to kind of hover over for a couple of minutes and then left when it got good. But it's interesting because they gave him a full tour, and we got a tour too of the facility, the assembly line for their F-35s, which is pretty cool. Now, it's also really cool because about 600 people were at the facility who worked there, sat there. Well, they got like a front row seat to see the secretary speak, which is really cool. He's really actually an incredible, just side note, like a really incredible, he's a really incredible speaker. Like, I get it, like he had like the show on Fox and he was pretty busy with that, but like, that's pretty impressive to do, I must say. And that guy's got a lot of energy. I don't know how anyone does that. Now, during his visit to Lockheed Martin, he also did praise their record delivery of 191 F-35s in 2025. Now, again, he did speak for roughly, and I'm going through my notes, he did speak roughly for 15 minutes. And he really was drilling these key point homes. He wanted to slash the red tape, which is obviously all of the regulations. I think the slow roll, all of this. John Cornyn was there too, by the way. I was a good person. I didn't say anything to John Cornyn. Mr. FISA. I was on my best behavior. He also spoke about ending DEI and woke distractions and focusing more on obviously being more lethal and the readiness of our U.S. military. He went on to also say that he was very confident in Lockheed and their ability to help him achieve that mission. Now, again, Ted Cruz was present, so was John Cornyn. A couple of members of Congress were also present, so that was pretty cool. And, you know, I got to fly with the team, media team, so that was pretty cool, too. That was a great experience. We flew down to Brownsville, Texas. I've never actually been that close to the Mexican border, not gonna lie. So it was quite the experience. But most importantly, I mean, Elon Musk has built himself like a little city. It's actually really impressive. Starbase is where we went at SpaceX, folks. And apparently it's like this little mini campus. We're talking to some of the employees over there. Like, it's like a, we live here. We live here. It's pretty cool. They all have Teslas. Cybertrucks were parked out in the front as you're driving past. And I had no idea how new it all was. It was pretty cool. And they just recently got ACs. One of the employees told us, they're like, we haven't had AC in a bit. But the facility itself is brand new, but it's actually really freaking cool. Really freaking cool. So Hegseth did make his way down. As soon as we got there, Elon Musk was out front. He did greet Hegseth. They made their way inside. We were not privy to the meeting between the two. But obviously we did. Then later we made our way inside. And that was pretty interesting. That was pretty interesting. Now, obviously, Elon Musk doing the introduction into Hegseth speaking. And that was pretty cool. And then Hegseth, like, this is, I got to get a new phone. This is my phone footage. But it was pretty cool. I want to play, though, the kind of the focus of all of this and what the, and this is where it gets a little sticky for me. Because I'm not really, not really an advocate for us moving closer and closer and kind of speeding up this AI rush. And that's what it was all about yesterday. So from my perspective, I'm a little on the fence on this one, but it was pretty cool to see how fast they've been at developing all this AI. Most importantly, I want to play a clip yesterday from the speech that was given by Hegseth. Let's turn to clip one because he's explaining why they're going to make this the priority now, which is ultimately the partnership between Grok and the Department of War. Take a listen.
We need to be blunt here. We can no longer afford to wait a decade for our legacy prime contractors to deliver the next perfect system, only to find that it's delivered years behind schedule and cost 10 times what it should. Winning requires a new playbook. Elon wrote it with his algorithm. Question every requirement, delete the dumb ones, and accelerate like hell.
Obviously, that's really the message that was going out yesterday. It was quite impressive. It's going to be a big, big push right now to get us closer to being at the top of this AI race. I don't like it. I'm just not someone who's technology weirds me out. I test drove a Tesla too. This was a couple of weeks ago when I was looking for a car and it was just too technical. I was out. So I'm a little weary about all of this. But it was awesome to see them all. They were all excited. They were all very excited to see, obviously, Hegseth, because it's very rare that Secretary of War makes an appearance at your factory. And I was really impressed on just speaking with the employees. They said, you know, we're here 24 hours. We're constantly working. We actually build our rockets over at SpaceX from scratch, like literally scratch. We don't get it brought to us. We build it with the raw materials here. That was pretty cool. Again, I didn't even know that they live on their base, that they all live on the campus itself, which is pretty cool to see. So it was a very interesting, interesting day. Now, again, this is a top priority for Hegseth. Advancing the United States into this AI acceleration strategy. That was the exact quote he used yesterday. To make the U.S. military an AI first warfighting force. So if you pair that up with the directed energy weapons, yeah, it's kind of scary. It's kind of scary. All right, let's get to this story. Let's kind of pivot a little bit now. And let's get to this part because this was a big one. As many of you guys probably saw yesterday, there was a report from the Wall Street Journal saying that Donald Trump might actually be losing a little bit of confidence in Pam Bondi and that he's expressing some frustrations internally with his aides. Obviously there's not much happening on the front when it comes to prosecutions. Now, again, we do hear whispers and we'll get to that in a little bit about grand jury reports. But this is something that's really interesting that we're finally starting to hear little whispers about this. Because for the longest time, I was told, oh, no. No, the president really likes Bondi. My sources told me that she only had 6 months. And I told you guys this before. During that switchover with Bailey over in Missouri, when he was brought over to the FBI, that was actually her replacement being brought in. So it's interesting to now kind of hear, because this is around the same timeline, to hear these whispers that he's not happy with her. And usually leaks usually indicate something. Again, it could be false. It could not be true. But it's worth highlighting the fact that, yes, this is what he's saying. Potentially. I don't know how you're not happy. That's sarcasm. I don't know how you're happy at all with the AG. She hasn't done anything. What has she done? Congratulations. You're getting fentanyl off the streets. That's important, yes. But saving this country and getting rid of and uprooting all of the garbage that has infiltrated the deep state operatives, holding those top people accountable, yeah, that's really important. And I'm so tired. I saw another report, too, that Tish James is under investigation again. I'm so over it. Tish James, don't like her, never liked her at all, but she's not even on my top 20 card. Not even my top 20 card. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend like we're actually doing something. I don't see it actually happening. Interesting enough, though, President Trump did take to Truth Social to go off on the FBI agents. Hey, guys, it's all cut off. Can we get new printouts, please? This one was interesting, though. Because according to Just the News, FBI supervisor who openly opposed Donald Trump on social media played a crucial role in obviously igniting the Arctic Frost investigation. Well, a lot of these key players, they keep saying, are fired. You know, I sat back and watched, and they were trying to claim that they were fired. But it's interesting because, again, Cash Patel tweeting out, under President Trump's leadership, this FBI found the corrupt actors behind Arctic Frost and terminated their employment last year. That's what the FBI director is coming out and saying. Now, it's interesting when you pair that, and we'll go into detail with this with Liz Harrington in a bit, but Tom Fitton even putting out that it's roughly over 100 people have been terminated. So the numbers itself aren't even that impressive. I get it. These are probably, if he's just claiming the Arctic Frost employees, he also keep in mind there was J6 FBI agents. According to Tom Fitton, FBI leadership fired no more than 138 employees. Now over 3,000 employees left since President Trump came back into the White House. Mostly 872 have retired. And 980 actually quit. They resigned. Keep in mind that when we're talking about 138 employees being fired, that's like a drop in the bucket because there's about 35,000, a little over. So Tom Fitton doing a good job, I'd say, at being fair and balanced in that report. We'll have Liz Harrington on in a little bit just to go over that one. I also want to get to the story. This was interesting. A grand jury could possibly be getting together. That's supposed to be on the 12th, so that was yesterday. So according to reports, last month, former CIA director John Brennan's lawyer wrote to the same judge, which is Judge Eileen Cannon, who apparently has this grand jury on her docket right now. We don't know specifically if it's related. This is just connecting the dots a bit. Well, according to Brennan's lawyer, to the same judge, and confirmed this, that Brennan is a target of a grand jury investigation into the 2017 intelligence community assessment, obviously about the Russian collusion hoax, the 2016 one. So there's possibly that grand jury. This is just more evidence that there's possibly that grand jury possibly going on. Again, I have to say possibly because it's not 100%. We never know. We never know. It'd be a good start, though. I can promise you that. I'm sure it would be a massive, massive RICO case for those who tried to infiltrate and completely just steal the election for President Trump. But no surprise there at all. No surprise. a lot more happening too. Folks, I don't even understand why Tish James is the center of an investigation right now. It's just so strange to me. It's so bizarre as to why we even do this in the first place. I get it. I saw what unraveled in New York City. But it just looks like now, like you're just targeting her. Many of you guys may have heard the report that she's now under federal investigation. Something with like hair and makeup from her campaign funds. I'm just over it. You couldn't land it the first time. And now we're doing it again. It just looks like lawfare. The PR aspect of all of this isn't good. Isn't good. I want to play clip two for you guys. I don't know if you guys heard this update in regards to the J6 pipe bomber story, but this one's a good one because this might actually have some legs on it. You know, Brian Cole Jr., he's the individual who's been arrested for the pipe bombs. Well, his attorneys are trying to argue that he received a pardon potentially. If you do think he's a suspect, that he did receive a pardon from President Donald Trump. It's an interesting clip. Take a listen.
Williams also says he believes the president's pardon for all January 6 defendants applies to Cole. The lawyers are planning to make a filing with the court soon, laying out that argument that the pardon applies.
The judge called this a January 6th adjacent case during the hearing. Do you agree with that?
For purposes of the pardon, I absolutely agree with it.
What do you mean?
So I think you have to employ some kind of common sense as applied to the allegations. So if the allegations are that he went out there and he set down these components and that they were found on January 6th, the judge says that it's a part of January 6th. The pardon says that you're allowed to get a pardon for everything related to the events that occurred on or at the Capitol on January 6th. Like I said, we're going to talk about that at a later date, but I do believe that.
Sounds like you believe it's a strong argument he should get a pardon.
100%.
Of Trump's pardon is broad. It says the president will grant a full, complete, and unconditional pardon to all other individuals convicted of offenses related to events that occurred at or near the United States Capitol on January 6, 2021. The government says Cole confessed to making the homemade devices and walked investigators through how he built them before driving to Washington, D.C. and placing them outside the RNC and DNC headquarters the night before Congress certified Joe Biden's victory. When the government put details of what they call Cole's confession in a public filing, Cole's lawyers demanded to see the evidence of the confession. Williams says he's now watched a recording of Cole's interview after the arrest. He says the statements that are in the government's filing are missing context, and at some points, the government is making affirmative false statements, he says.
But you're not saying the government's lying.
Well, I'm saying that I believe the manner in which the government made those statements is incorrect and acontextual and in some instances absolutely false.
So a lie. The government's lying about what
he
said.
Some of the representations that the government made in our opinion are false.
Isn't that interesting? Hey, folks, it might be true. And I don't like the fact that they put out there for the public to see that there was a confession made. Again, that's not going to go well, and you'll probably hear the judge ripping him a new one for doing just that. We'll keep our eye on this, though, but it's not looking too good for the DOJ here or the FBI. All right, guys, don't go anywhere. In the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. The limited edition Life is Fiery Beauty Trench Knife is available.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new products, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalists. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us today. A lot happening over here. We have incredible guests joining us later in the show. Just look forward to getting into in just a bit. Kellen Jones will be joining me, because there's a lot to go into over there in regards to the H-1B visas that have been taking over the Dallas area. DFW area. It's been quite the tragedy. And I speak because, I know I live over there. So look forward to talking about that and what's really happening in the Dallas area. Also, Annie Cyrus will be joining us in a little bit as well. Annie is an incredible Iranian American who came from Iran, obviously, but most importantly, she's still covering, what's taking place over there. She's here in the United States. We had her on the show last week where she detailed the death threats that she receives quite often. It's obviously awful, but she's got her ear to the ground in Iran right now. She's going to detail the very latest there. We'll also have the former spokeswoman for President Trump, Liz Harrington, on the program today to react to a lot. The first one will obviously be the one that we briefly kind of did some overview on, which was the Wall Street Journal article, which says that President Trump is not happy with AG Pam Bondi. We'll have her react to that. We'll also have her react to the latest regarding election fraud, because there was thousands and thousands of names ripped off of voter roll because, Tom Fitton isn't going to stop anytime soon. He's doing an incredible job. So Liz Harrington will join us to detail just that and react to the news, of course. But you may have seen it. We're seeing some bit of a appearance that investigations are brewing, I guess we could say. It's a little weird, but obviously you guys may have saw this news over the weekend as well, that Jerome Powell, obviously he's the chair of the Fed, that he's under federal investigation currently. And obviously he's saying that this is all because he's not reducing the interest rates, which I also do believe is criminal in itself, because he's intentionally working against the American people to work for the globalists and to force us to pay out billions and billions of dollars in interest for no freaking reason. But that's a whole nother story. But he's claiming to be the victim here in all of this, as you all would assume he would do. And in clip three, the White House actually responded to Powell yesterday. Take a listen.
Fed chair should be in jail.
Thank you so much, Caroline. I'm Jerome Powell. President Trump has mentioned on multiple occasions that the administration could probably bring a lawsuit against him. Did the president ever direct DOJ officials to open an investigation into Powell?
No.
And can you reassure the American public that his longstanding criticisms and public comments about Powell had nothing to do with the investigation?
Look, the president has every right to criticize the Fed chair. He has a First Amendment right, just like all of you do. And one thing for sure, the president's made it quite clear, is Jerome Powell is bad at his job. As for whether or not Jerome Powell is a criminal, that's an answer the Department of Justice is going to have to find out, and it looks like they intend to find that out.
Two more questions on the Fed for you. Senator Tillis is promising to hold up all Fed nominees until this legal matter with Jerome Powell is resolved. What does the president make of that?
I haven't spoken to the president about Senator Tillis's comments. I'll leave that to our legislative affairs shop to figure out, and I'll let the president speak on that himself.
That the Fed should operate independently from him.
The president has made it quite clear he thinks Jerome Powell is bad at his job, and the president has made it quite clear, as have many economists, by the way, that interest rates should be lowered, and they should have been lowered a long time ago.
But does he believe in the independence of the Fed?
He has, and he said that many times.
Thank you, Caroline. Does the president believe that Jay Powell should go to jail if he lied about the president?
Eamon, you're yelling out a question that's being asked in a different way, but it's the same exact question as we just answered, and I just answered it. We'll let the Department of Justice determine that.
But as you hear there, she's claiming that the Trump administration didn't instruct DOJ to go after him. He is causing American taxpayers billions of dollars for his refusal to lower the interest rates. And there's really no excuse for it besides it's politically motivated. I mean, that would really be the only reason for that, the only justification. There's no other way to look at it. Every single expert tells you that every key indicator shows that interest rates should have been reduced a long time ago, and he's chosen not to. Because why? Because Donald Trump bad. Donald Trump bad. Now, again, Jerome Powell says the DOJ is threatening him with criminal charges for refusing to reduce the interest rates. I don't care at this point. Reduce the rates. Reduce the rates. The American people deserve better. We don't deserve to sit here and have to, for the next, I mean, what is it going to be? Next two generations, pay off all his debt, if we're lucky. It's just so infuriating, the fact that this guy has this hold on this country right now in regards to interest rates. And there's no reason for him to keep these rates as high as they are. And the president obviously doing his best to push back now. And thank God, you know, we're hearing a lot about now how Republicans are starting to address the affordability crisis in this country. Thankfully, as many of you guys know, we have Mark Mitchell on the show all the time. And I could just tell you that I know that there's meetings being held amongst Republican leaders right now in D.C. in regards to just that. Long overdue. It's long overdue. Long overdue. This is why so many young people are turning to communists, because they don't have any hope. The reality is, even the current interest rates, even though the president has done a good job of bringing those down, they're still not low enough for average Americans to be able to afford a house in this country. It's just the reality. Rent, for some reason, is a better option. And not by much, but it's still an option that many Americans are leaning on. And most Americans, when you look at the polls, don't even think they have a shot anymore at the American dream. Now, I get it. The president believes a lot of this is due to illegal immigration. The millions of immigrants who have come into this country. Okay. But there's a lot more that can be done, and we look forward to seeing him do just that. The bonds, the purchase of the bonds, I believe it was $200 billion, but I guess off the top of my head, that he announced last week. It's a good start. But again, then it gets the federal government involved in all of this, and that's a little sticky. Let's turn to this. Let's talk about Judge Boasberg for a second. As many of you guys know, he is not a very beloved judge. He's been accused of obviously being very biased, very corrupt. And he, for some reason, thinks, and it's so frustrating that all of these cases fall mysteriously on people like Judge Boasberg's desk in his courtroom. Marco Rubio just recently told him yesterday in a response that there's no way to retrieve the 137 Venezuelans that were deported under the Alien Enemy Act. Now, here's the thing, right? Because he wants the Alien Enemies Act to not be implemented, but it's too late because they've already obviously shipped out a ton of these violent criminals. And Boasberg wants to know what happened. I gave you a ruling that was to bring him back. Why aren't they back here in the United States? Because he is obviously a treasonous pig. So Boasberg is still trying to hold the Trump administration accountable for doing the logical thing. So Marco Rubio tells Judge Boasberg there's no way to retrieve those 137 Venezuelans that were deported under the Alien Enemies Act or even offer them due process, given the recent, you know, events that took place in Venezuela. Might as well just go there with that. Have fun with it. Screw this guy, you know? Because he's going to keep trying to bring these people back into our country. They are violent criminals. They are MS-13 gang members. Get them all out. Ignore the judges. What is the judge going to do? Speaking of that, ignoring orders. Let's talk about Mark Kelly. Senator Mark Kelly yesterday, and I was trying to see if Pete Hegseth would comment on it, but he was not trying to speak to the media yesterday. But we were right in front of him when the news dropped that Senator Mark Kelly filed a lawsuit against the Pentagon and obviously the defense secretary, or it's not even defense. Why do we always, it's not defense. It is the Department of War. And he's also filing that lawsuit as well as the defendants listed there is also the Navy. But in the suit, he's claiming that the censure that was issued against him and the reduction in his military ranking and the associated retirement pay pension, well, he obviously is saying that's retaliation. But most importantly, he thinks that what was said in that video where he was telling service members not to follow orders if they deemed them to be unlawful, he's saying that was protected by free speech. Ah, free speech. Now they believe in it. Now they believe in that. Isn't that funny? Kelly's lawsuit argues that the Pentagon's actions are retaliation and a violation of the First Amendment. They infringe on speech or debate clause. They also threaten the separations of powers by allowing the executive branch to punish a sitting member of Congress for political speech and oversight. And they went on to say that this is like unprecedented, you know, all the dramatic terms you're going to use in a lawsuit. I believe it was about 66 pages, his filing. And it's just First Amendment is what they want to claim. Now they're fans of the First Amendment. Now they're fans of the Constitution. Now they want to go by what was written by our founding fathers. Isn't that convenient? Isn't that convenient? Unfortunately, though, the secretary did not give us comment yesterday. I guess he was busy, we could say. But I was really angling towards that. I did reach out, though, to his team. And I did ask them for comment. They said, we don't comment on pending litigation matters, unfortunately. So I tried. I gave my best shot. But we'll watch as this lawsuit goes through the courts. But ultimately, I know he thinks he's got a winning case here. I don't see that being the case. I don't see this being a free speech lawsuit, a free speech argument. But we'll see as it plays out. We also have our eyes right now in the Supreme Court as well, because arguments are beginning today into the transgender athletes in women's sports. As many of you guys know, we briefly talked about this. The Supreme Court will be hearing this, whether or not states can constitutionally ban biological men from competing in women's sports. The conservative view is that the major win for protecting, this is a major win for protecting women's sports, obviously, but that's going to be a big one happening today in front of the Supreme Court. Protests are expected to also be carried out throughout today. By the way, President Trump just posted on Truth Social, and we'll go over this in a little bit too when we have Annie Cyrus on in the third hour of the program. He keeps saying, make Iran great again. He just posted this Truth Social post. Iranian patriots, keep protesting. Take over your institutions. Save the names of the killers and abusers. They will pay a big price. I've canceled all meetings with Iranian officials until the senseless killing of protesters stops. So President Trump weighing in on that. And, you know, we'll get Annie's take on it. But ultimately, yeah, this is going to be big news, folks. Because I have a feeling this is going to heat up over these next few days. The numbers that are being floated out there, too, are not consistent. One article I was reading today was like, oh, there's over 20,000 people killed. So, interesting enough. That's what's happening. It was anywhere from, one said 20,000, another one said 30,000. So, the number is all over the place. But we'll go through the stories when we have Annie Cyrus on the program, because the details are actually really sad. There's actually a man who's set to be executed today by the government for being a part of the protests. He's supposed to be hung. And we'll talk to her about that. Again, what's happening in Iran, keep your eyes on it, but my heart just really goes out to those people. I don't want any of our personal involvement in any of this, but yeah, I'd say this is a big one. I don't know if you saw this too yesterday. We could dive into the Minnesota angle to all of this, because Minnesota is now suing the Trump administration to stop it from enforcing immigration laws after the fatal shooting of a woman by a federal officer. So Minneapolis and St. Paul are now suing. So that the DHS is violating the First Amendment. The lawsuit seeks a temporary restraining order to halt the enforcement of operations. Yeah, wouldn't they love that? Wouldn't they love that? No, I'm sorry. Your left-wing terrorists don't get to run around our country, and they don't get to go after ICE agents, Border Patrol agents, try to run them over, and they don't get to get away with it. We're done with this. You know, every time an ICE agent or any DHS agent is injured in line of duty, nobody gives a damn about them. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's like a headline, and then it's gone. Nobody sits down and has serious conversations about how lefties are terrorists, how they're radical, how they go out there and they want to hurt people. They actually do just that. So I'm just over with this, like, let's all pretend everything's all good and that the federal government is the aggressor here. They are the violent ones. And then you have Tim Walz. Look at this. This guy is such a freaking loser, man. This guy is such a loser. I guess he went to the memorial yesterday for Rene Good. And he's pretending to take a moment to reflect upon her loss. You know, if you don't do stupid things, these things don't happen to you. It's quite simple. Some would even argue it's logical. You know, maybe make better decisions in life. Maybe don't be a garbage human being going around harassing federal agents while they're trying to do their job and remove, They're trying to remove the worst of the worst, so you'd have to say rapist. And by the way, I posted some of the arrests that were made over these last few days on my ex page. Again, men who shouldn't be in this country accused of sexually assaulting women and children, murderers. Those were the ones that were recently rounded up in the state. So F that guy. He's a garbage human being. There's no other way to look at it besides the fact that he is a horrible person. And I'm so tired of, like, because they're being ousted and that they're being exposed for the fraud that they've been participating in allegedly, that they're using this as a pivot moment for them. This is a pivot moment. You know, it's interesting too, because the mayor, he said something very interesting. Jacob Fries, many of you guys know, he is a beta man. in clip five. Well, he said the quiet part out loud. This is one that's been very key that I've been trying to like scream about since the Biden regime years. Take a listen.
If the goal were simply to look for people that are undocumented, Minneapolis and St. Paul would not be the place where you would go. There are countless more people that are undocumented in Florida and Texas and Utah. Why are they in these much smaller cities in the middle of the Midwest? The answer is very clear. It is politics. Florida and Texas and Utah are Republican states. The reason that Minnesota and Minneapolis are being targeted is because you've got a Democratic governor, a Democratic attorney general, and you got Democratic mayors.
No, he's missing the real key point to all of this. Democrats intentionally shuffled them throughout the Midwest, intentionally for this moment. What they were trying to do is steal elections and gain a mass majority. And so they have shuffled these illegal aliens into their places and a lot into red states too. But most importantly, it's the reason why you've seen these booms that have been recently taking place. They've been strategically placed throughout the Midwest. I mean, I was traveling just last year for several speaking engagements. And as you go around, you start to realize even in places that you wouldn't expect it, there's a massive amount of foreigners. Why? Because the Biden regime wanted to change this country. That was the goal in all of this. And so what they do specifically, well, they put these people who shouldn't be in this country in the first place, they put them in very, sometimes red areas, wherever they thought it was best for them politically. It's crazy. I was actually calling Ubers in Michigan last year, and every single person was a Mohammed. Every single person. And then you start to realize that none of them speak English. None of them want to talk to you. None of them really care for you. They're just not happy people. Because they know why they're here. They're not here to make friends. They're here to take over. And they know that. They know that. I also want to talk about, too, what's being exposed, obviously, in Minnesota. As many of you guys know, the AG in Minnesota has been exposed in recordings. Now, Elson is his name. He is an individual right now who's facing a lot of accusation in regards to potentially doing like a little pay-to-play scheme. Now, again, there's no convictions here, so we have to say the word allegedly, of course. But the recordings that we've played for you on the show so far are quite disturbing. But it gets even worse. And, you know, the Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, is out here calling it out in clip four. Take a listen.
That's part of following the money. There are evidently some disturbing tapes of AG Ellison in meetings with people who donated to him, them calling for political favors to stop the investigations. So we'll see. But again, I don't want to get out ahead of the investigations. It's going to be very methodical. And Chris, I can guarantee you when the bear trap snaps, we're going to get these folks. And again, we're going to follow the money, whether it's over the two counties here, in Minneapolis, St. Paul's, or whether it's to East Africa. And there's tons of luxury properties, cars that have been bought over there. And how the hell did this happen? How did it happen? Like, President Trump is outraged. I'm outraged. The American people should be outraged.
Well, it happened because our government allowed it to happen. So that's why it happens. It happened because no one's actually really been thrown in prison for it. I mean, obviously, there's a couple people under the Biden regime who were prosecuted, investigated. But again, I mean, it needs to be a very loud statement made. But, you know, they are making the right moves. Again, we kicked off the show by talking about the breaking news regarding the Somalians losing their protective order or protective status, I should say. The Trump administration announcing that they are terminating the temporary protected status for Somalians. And that will expire on March 17th. So that'll be a good day, March 17th. They either leave or they get dragged out, pick. So again, this looks good. What's going on right now looks good. Looks good. We also know that there's going to be a special U.S. attorney appointed to just going after the fraud. So we're still waiting for that announcement to take place. But again, that is a process. So far, the Trump administration really is taking these fraud allegations seriously, it looks like. So we'll keep our eye on that, of course. I think that's really, really important, though. Really, really important for us to pay attention to. Oh, by the way, yesterday it was announced that the United States has, under President Trump, revoked over 100,000 visas. It's a pretty interesting number, I must say. Pretty interesting number. We're off to a good start, though. I'll tell you that. Unfortunately, it's going to be a long, drawn-out process. I'm not going to sit here and lie to the people about that one. It's not going to happen overnight. I know a lot of us are frustrated, but in regards to the deportation numbers, I know that those haven't been to our desire. But the reality of it is you have to hire a whole bunch of these agents, judges, because they have to get the due process that we don't think that they actually should be able to get, but the courts say that they do. So the administration is at least trying. That's the good news. It looks like. The fraud is just so crazy to me. It's so out of control. And the fact that we probably won't even get any of this back is really infuriating. The most important part, folks, is we've been playing these clips for you guys of these TSA employees who were like, yeah, they were shuffling millions of dollars in suitcases and sending out of our country. And nobody cared. I mean, literally nobody cared. Why do you think Somalians were taking millions of dollars in cash into suitcases and onto planes? Why did we allow this in the first place? Does anybody even know? Does anyone even know? I mean, it's just so crazy to me that we allowed all this to happen. And the people who allowed it to happen, they're not going to be held accountable. You might get a couple of like the low-hanging fruit, but otherwise it's nothing. And it's just so infuriating, man. It really is infuriating. Because all of the big people who are behind all of this, all of the people who are pushing this, they're gone. They took our money and they left. Can't even imagine why we've allowed all this to happen. I can't even imagine why we've done this to our country. All right, folks, in the second hour of the show, we're going to be talking about the H-1B visas, but we're also going to be taking your calls. So 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. That's the number you're going to want to call into to join us in the second hour of the show. Lots to discuss there. The third hour, we have two guests, so we're going to do the calls in the second hour of the program. For the first, you know, couple of minutes, Kellen Jones is going to be joining us. Should be pretty interesting regarding the H-1B visa issue that's going on right now in Texas. If you haven't seen the videos up on X, if you're driving through, like, Irving, Plano, Frisco, Dallas, you know that there's been a drastic shift in people who live there. Indians specifically, and obviously Muslims, have taken over the community. And you're starting to notice it more and more. I've been visiting for years before I moved down there, and I would notice it, but it wasn't like anything. It isn't what it is today. And a lot of it, people say, it has to do with the H-1B visas. We'll be joined by the incredible reporter over at Dallas Express to break down the latest on that front, to go through the numbers, so don't go anywhere more to discuss. In the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. It's the limited edition Life is Fiery with its beautiful trench knife. It's available now. Extremely limited. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated, 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do. But what are the other benefits? Roxas Secondary Emerging Benefits improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs. Potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue. Possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
A lot happening over here. We're going to take your calls in the second hour of the show, 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. It's been a crazy day for me. It actually never really ended. It's an extension of yesterday. So bear with me. But we're going to be taking your calls. If there's something you want to sound off on, you have a question, any of the topics we've discussed thus far, give us a call. 877-789-2539 is the number you're going to want to call into. In just a couple of minutes, in about, I'd say about 4.5 minutes, we're going to be joined by Kellen Jones on the program. He is a senior investigative reporter over at the Dallas Express. And there's a lot to discuss there in regards to the H-1B visas that have been just kind of exploding all over the country. But specifically, and it's because, you know, I obviously have boots on the ground over there, but in the DFW area, it's been one of the most important things, I think, for those locals who have lived there for quite some time now, because they've watched this play out in front of their own eyes. And people are starting to get really passionate and be very open about discussing this topic. So I look forward to having him on because he did actually just recently speak yesterday at a very good event. So we'll get the latest from him on that front. We will also be talking about Iran as well in the third hour of the show, which I look forward to. This will be interesting when we talk about Iran because President Trump just posted on Truth Social details about Iran and how he stands with the Iranian people. He's actually telling them to keep going out there, keep going to the streets and keep protesting. Which is interesting given the fact that we're hearing reports that either hundreds or thousands of Iranians have been killed. Now, again, the numbers are all over the place. You know, I've seen some reports that said 300 people have been killed. And then I saw another report this morning saying 10,000. It's really hard to read given the fact that it's state-run media and they've lost internet access. So we're only able to get like a little bit of trickles of information. But that's the reason we're going to have Annie Cyrus on the program. She's an Iranian-American journalist and she has all these sources in Iran still to this day. So she will join us in just a bit. We'll also be joined by, in the third hour, Liz Harrington. She's the former spokeswoman for President Donald Trump. She's joining us to sound off about the DOJ. Obviously, her frustration she's made very clear on this program previously in regards to the lack of accountability that's come thus far from the current DOJ. But most importantly, she's going to be joining us to sound off on a lot of other things, too. A lot of really important things, like election fraud. You know, we keep hearing all these reports about how there's thousands and thousands of people selling voter rolls, whether they're dead, they no longer live in their states, but these states are refusing to purge them from their voter rolls. Well, Judicial Watch has done an incredible job pushing back and holding these people accountable, and they're continuing to do just that. So we'll dive into that in just a little bit as well. I'll also bring you the details. It's a wild story. I'll spare you the, it's still kind of early, I guess, so we won't show you the picture just yet. But there were just recently 5 decapitated heads in Ecuador that were just recently uncovered. It's a part of obviously a very gruesome warning to gangs, but we'll spare you of the pictures for right now. Just in case you're eating breakfast. You've got about 30 minutes to finish your breakfast before I show you those photos. It's again obviously highlights the violence in these countries, but it needs to be spoken about more often. Also, Laura Loomer is launching a PAC. I'll get to the details with that because she's teaming up with somebody who I love very dearly, Amy Mack, to launch this PAC. I'll bring you those details in a little bit. Also, somebody else throwing his name into the Florida governor's race. I don't know, guys. They're not Governor DeSantis. That's all I'll say. I haven't seen anyone who I am confident in. In Florida to take over for Governor Ron DeSantis so far. So we'll dive into all of that in just a bit. I guess we'll go into detail who specifically is running. And we're also going to get to a story about the the Venezuelans who are accusing the United States of using directed energy weapons to capture Maduro. That's an important story. Buckle up. We got more to discuss in just a little bit. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Because like I told you just a few moments ago, we've got the limited edition Life is Fiery with its beauty trench knife. That is available right now, limited edition right now, over at thealexjonesstore.com. So head on over to the shop. 50% off, limited time offer. It won't last forever. As many of you guys know, these go pretty quickly. So if you want to right now, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Every purchase on thealexjonesstore.com gets you 50 times entries to win over or to win our crossover giveaway. So head on over.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You heard RFK Jr. rave about it. The health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping forward with us. Second hour of the program. We'll be taking your calls in just a little bit. So if you'd like to join the show, 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539 is the number you're going to call in on. And like I said, we'll be taking your calls if you want to talk about the topics we've discussed thus far in the program. But we do have a lineup of incredible guests joining us. First one up, though, is going to be Kellen Jones. Now, ultimately, we're going to be talking about this topic. Something that I can't stop yelling about is in regards to the H-1B visas that have been dished out. I obviously, and again, I don't mean to totally, you know, dox myself, but it's public record at this point now. I live in Plano, Texas, and I've been visiting the area, the DFW area, for quite some time. There recently has been a drastic shift over the last, I don't know, maybe 6 years. And a lot of locals are really kind of getting fired up over it because they just don't like what's happening over there in the DFW area. Specifically, there's been a massive influx of H-1B visa workers brought into the area, as well as other individuals. But it doesn't feel like a community that it once felt like. And that's the common theme here. And a lot of people are fired up over it. A lot of people aren't happy about this. You know, yesterday, Kellen Jones, who is the investigative journalist over at Dallas Express, spoke at the Irving Republican Women's Events and ultimately spoke under the title, How Texans Lose Jobs to H-1B Visas and the Trump administration's reforms and congressional proposals. And Kellen joins us right now to discuss all of that. He's also the author behind the Substack.com/CowtownCaller as well. And he is with us today. All right, Kellen, I want to give you the floor on this one because, you know, I constantly am talking about the H-1B visas and how this is a massive, massive issue for American workers. And yesterday, you spoke extensively about this. So I wanted to hear in regards to, because you were talking to, obviously, the women of Irving, Texas, and this is something that they're very, very passionate about as well, because they've watched it play out right in front of their very own eyes. And again, I live in Plano, and we've seen the transformation completely with a lot of these tech companies. They're not big tech companies, but, you know, they're the big corporations, I guess I should say. And they've switched out a lot of these American worker jobs for these H-1B visa holders. And just based on my own personal experience, I could tell you the people who have been brought into the region over these last few years, they're not very welcoming. They struggle with driving. They're also not very polite to us. So for me, someone who now lives over there, I'm not very happy about it. And I've been in the area for several years now. So what's happening in Texas? And then just break down the whole how Texans are losing out to these H-1B visas, because that's a big one that Texans want to talk about.
Well, Brianna, thank you so much for having me today. I'm thrilled to join you and to join your program. Dallas has become synonymous with Indian migration in recent years, and the H-1B visa plays a major role in that. The H-1B visa, of course, was created by President George H.W. Bush and Senator Ted Kennedy in the early 1990s. So it's a bipartisan project that has radically reshaped our communities. It allows any employer in your hometown or any university to change fundamentally the demographics of your town through their hiring practices. And a lot of times people aren't aware that it's going on. And by the time they're aware that it's happening, they feel like they don't have any power, but they do. And we can talk about that a little bit later. The reason this matters so much for Texas is Texas has the second most H-1B visas issued to it compared to any other state in the union. We're second only to California. California has had about 500,000 issued to them over the last 5 years. And Texas has had about 275,000 issued over the last 5 years. And in some cities like Irving, for example, these H-1B workers are highly concentrated. Employers in Irving filed 4,000 applications, labor applications, LCAs, with the Department of Labor just last year. 4,000 just in one calendar year. That's huge. The employers of H-1B visas are overwhelmingly in the tech, academia, medical, and finance sectors. But tech is really the one we should focus on the most for today's discussion because of some of the recent rulings that have come out in federal courts. If you follow this issue, you may have seen a ruling from Judge Dolly Gee, who I believe is in California. The ruling came out in December, and what it found and what she ruled was that Cognizant, one of the largest employers of H-1B visas in the country, had engaged in a pattern of discriminatory conduct, disparate impact against American employees in favor of Indian visa holders. And what they found is that Americans faced a 7 times higher rate of termination compared to an Indian visa holder at Cognizant between the years of 2016 and 2022. That's huge. In the tech world, there's something known as the bench. It's like where you can complete a project and then you haven't yet started another project. And Americans were 8.4 times more likely to be terminated from the bench than an Indian worker. This was a huge, huge revelation that came out in some of the evidence presented at trial. And it shows some of the ways American workers are struggling. I'll use just one more example. You may have seen the 60 Minutes report about Eversource and Disney. These were both sort of infamous situations with the H-1B visa program where American workers were forced to train their replacements, okay? And in some cases, at some companies covered in the 60 Minutes report, their severance was dependent on training their replacements. So, Why are these companies engaging in this pattern of conduct? Well, the answer is very green in nature, Brianna. It's all about the bottom line. The AFL-CIO did a study a few years ago, it was in 2019, and what they found is that in 60% of cases, H-1B workers are paid at the two lowest federally permissible wage levels. So these visas are going to like entry level and just above entry level jobs. They're the lowest paid. And even within those pay bands that the federal government permits, these workers are frequently getting the lowest wages. So the H-1B visa program fundamentally is a way for companies to save money.
Yeah, and I want to talk about President Trump's angle in all of this, if we can dive into that, because President Trump obviously was very controversial when he was the media made it seem like he was kind of expanding the H-1B visas a bit, but ultimately those in his cabinet came out and said that's not the case. What they're looking to do is they're looking to train American workers, and they're looking to do so with foreign workers, the training process, and those H-1B visas will kind of disappear, I guess. What do you see in all of this? Because that was the key point. Again, it's really hard once you bring these people into our country to get them to leave. So is there any truth in that? Are they just being brought here now to train American workers so that they could do these jobs on their own?
There's no evidence that that is widespread, that American workers are being trained by the foreign workers. That's typically going the other way. Now, for what the president, and I've been asked about this many times on tour. Last night was my 14th stop in my speaking tour, and everyone has been asking me about that interview he gave to Laura Ingraham, which was very politically damaging. The gist of what I tell people who ask me about it is listen more to what the president is doing than what he is saying, because he's taking very strong action, but then talking kind of soft. So it's a little confusing to the audience. The actions taken by the president have been very hostile to the H-1B visa. Of course, you may remember in last fall, he took two actions almost simultaneously. He announced that there would be a reweighting of the H-1B visa program to favor higher wages. So if you pay your employers more, you're more likely to get the visa. And that's supposed to get around those problems I just discussed, where they're always or almost always using it to fill entry-level jobs. He also imposed a new $100,000 fee on the H-1B visa, and it applies to most new visas issued in fiscal 2026, but that fee only lasts for a year. But exactly happened what many suspected might happen if the visa got a little bit more expensive. Companies instantly walked away from H-1B visa labor, and it suddenly wasn't as important as we were being told. The biggest example, of course, came in the form of Walmart. Walmart immediately announced, we're moving on. We don't really need the H-1B labor that much. NVIDIA, of course, major tech company, said we'll pay the fees for a year and see how it weighs out. And then, of course, the president has faced a wave of lawsuits from the Chamber of Commerce and others fighting that H-1B visa fee. But so far, the president has decided to keep it in most cases.
Yeah, well, watch that as it continues to play out. I think this is a really important issue. And like you just said there, can you just detail, you said you're going on tour right now. What specifically, because in case Texas want to, you know, watch you speak at any of these events, how can they learn more about this?
The best way to find out about the tours, they can go to the Dallas Express website. We always put up a flyer before I do a local event here in DFW. And if you want to learn more about the H-1B visa, you can always go to my Substack, where there's almost minute-by-minute coverage of the issue. And I occasionally post clips from the tours, and I post my tour dates.
I like that. I like that. All right, let's get into another story that you guys are covering over at the Dallas Express. I like this one as well because it's Maha, so it's right up our alley over here. The Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton, who is the best attorney general we have in this country right now, but he has just reached an agreement with Procter & Gamble in regards to fluoride in children's toothpaste. Break down this latest report for us, please.
So the Attorney General of Texas reached a settlement with Procter & Gamble about the advertising on their toothpaste. Crest is the most familiar brand, probably to most of your listeners, for Procter & Gamble toothpaste. And they were showing these big globs of toothpaste as the recommended amount of toothpaste. And those big globs would deliver way too much fluoride. And so the Attorney General of Texas sued, and they reached a settlement, which is supposed to be going into effect right now, where they have to update their advertising. Now, you may be sitting there and going, yay, but the reaction from fluoride activists has been muted. They're happy that the Attorney General took action, but they feel like there's more to do. Of course, you may be familiar, Brianna, with a federal lawsuit last year. Pardon me, it was in 2024 that found that fluoride consumption posed an unreasonable risk to brain health in children. It was a case out of California, and that was going to be major because it was going to force the EPA to regulate fluoride, to possibly order it to be removed from water systems. Now, that case currently is on appeal. We thought more would happen under the current administration, but the case is being appealed. So there is still more people can do on fluoride, and that's what all the fluoride activists are saying. Okay, this was a minor victory with this settlement. The real thing that should be done, Regina Imbergia, who is a famous fluoride activist out of Dallas, is saying you need to do tap water fluoridation. That is the thing that needs to be tackled. The Dallas Express actually has covered this issue extensively, and I did a report last year, in 2024, about the levels of fluoride in the Dallas tap water were frequently way too high, and it appeared that they could not control the level of fluoride in the tap water in Dallas. Now, after that report, they actually straightened out, and they're more in line with current EPA guidelines, although we'll see how this appeal works out in the federal courts, because if the appeal goes in the direction of the fluoride activists, if they are successful, those ranges will have to move down or be eliminated entirely. So this is, Compaction settlement is a minor victory in what is an overall larger battle for fluoride.
Yeah, and I think that's really important to highlight that. So thank you for that. Just for a second, I wanted to kind of break in with a little bit of breaking news because I know our audience was looking forward to potentially seeing Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton make their way into Congress today. Unfortunately, folks, that's not going to be happening. Both Bill and Hillary Clinton are refusing to testify. We just want to make sure we brought you this news because it just broke a moment ago from the New York Times. They're refusing to speak out about the Jeffrey Epstein investigation, that coming down. In a letter that was given directly to the Times and also given to the chairman of that committee, Mr. James Comer, they write in part, every person has to decide when they have seen or had enough and are ready to fight for this country, its principles, and its people, no matter the consequences. For us, now is that time. So I guess they're not afraid of possibly getting locked up for this, but I want to make sure we brought you guys that news because it just broke moments ago. But I want to dive back into this, Kellen, because we're breaking news all day today, but I mean, you've also done an incredible job over at Dallas Express as well, covering another story that I think is really interesting. Virginia parolee's hearing was scheduled for Wednesday, could possibly mean the release of Dusty Turner after nearly 30 years in prison. He's a former Navy SEAL trainee. Now, this is a story that I know you guys have been following extensively. Break down this report.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. Dusty Turner was a Navy SEAL trainee who was convicted of several things, but of murder in a 1995 trial. Mm-hmm. He was 20 and 21 at the time of the trial, 20 at the time of the murder, and he spent 30 years in prison for a crime that someone else confessed to. It was another Navy SEAL trainee who was a co-defendant in that trial, and after their conviction, he confessed to the murder and said, you know what, I was just mad at Dusty. I committed the murder, and so there was an appeal. And a Virginia appellate court sided with Dusty at first, and then their siding with Dusty was overturned yet again on appeal to the Virginia Supreme Court. Now, if you look at the facts of the case, it is pretty clear and in the legal record that Dusty Turner did not commit this murder, but through a series of legal mishaps, he remained in prison for 30 years. I was covering this issue for a really long time, for several months, and we were the only publication in the U.S. covering it before last Wednesday when the Virginia Parole Board certified his parole. So Dusty Turner should be released. I've been in communication with the activist who have supported Dusty's effort, his campaign to be released. I even did an interview with Dusty the day before the parole board had its certification vote. And he appears to be in good health. He appears to be in good spirits. Of course, prison has taken its toll on him. You see him in 1995. He's a very handsome young guy with a whole life ahead of him. And he's war weary now. He's been through a lot, but he's ready to go home. And I'm waiting on word from his activists that support him and from his legal team about when that might be. There's still always the possibility Dusty could get a pardon, but that would probably have to be from the incoming Democrat governor of Virginia, because Glenn Youngkin, as you know, is outgoing. Mm-hmm. President Trump could help on this issue. He could put pressure on the outgoing governor, the incoming governor, to parole, but the president can't take any direct action because Dusty was convicted under state offenses, not federal offenses, so the president doesn't have any pardon power in this case.
It's an interesting one to keep following, and we look forward to the updates on this. Kellen, thank you for joining us and breaking all of this down. We greatly appreciate your time. You do incredible work over at the Dallas Express, as many of your reporters do as well. So we truly do appreciate it. Again, folks, if you'd like to follow him on Substack, you can do so at substack.com/CowtownCaller. That is where you could find his Substack page. Thank you, my friend, for joining me. We appreciate having you on. Thank you.
Thank you, Brianna.
All right, guys, we're diving into a couple more topics. If you want to join the show, though, in the next portion of the segments, the second hour, I guess I should say, 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539. That is the number you're going to want to call into. If you'd like to react to some of the stories we covered thus far, maybe I missed a story that you want to make sure we cover, that is the best way to do just that. I want to take a moment, though, to just remind all of our audience to pray for Scott Adams. You know, the news coming in from Scott, sadly, is not looking good. According to his ex-wife, he is now entering hospice care, and he's expected to possibly pass away over these next few days. They say that his health is declining rapidly. So I think it would be great for everyone at home right now to just take a moment and to pray for Scott Adams, because, you know, he's a great patriot. He loves his country dearly, and the news itself is just devastating. I was listening to a bunch of his clips of his last few episodes, and yesterday when I was in the car driving back, and I was smiling because he was full of joy after his Christian friends convinced him to convert, and he was speaking so proudly about it, and it was great to hear. And it's just so tragic to hear that we're going to lose Scott Adams. And so hold him in your prayers, folks, because that is a great patriot who we will miss him, but he's put up a hell of a fight as his ongoing battle with cancer continues on. But he is a fighter, he is a patriot, and we will dearly miss him. But we are just so thankful that we had the time that we did with Scott Adams. Okay, so folks, we've got a lot more happening in the second portion of this hour. Again, we're taking your calls, so if you'd like to join the show, 877-789-2539 is the number you're going to want to call into. And we're following a lot. You know, we just talked about Iran. We're also going to be talking to Annie Cyrus in a little bit. And I'll get her to react to President Trump's post on Truth Social that just came out a couple of minutes ago, because he just announced he's not going to meet with any of these Iranian diplomats. That's off the table right now. He's canceling that. He also told Iranians that help is on the way. I don't know what that means. And then he goes, make Iran great again. I do want to see, obviously, the Iranian people free, but I don't want to see it with our influence. Physical influence, I guess you should say. If it's a tweet, if it's a post, that's not bad. But if we are boots on the ground, that's obviously nothing that we want to do. We don't want any involvement in that. But we are obviously watching. There's also a report that came out, and I'm going to ask Annie about it because it sounds like it's propaganda. I'm sure she's going to tell me it's propaganda, but it's being pushed by a couple of mainstream outlets here in the United States. And so if we're going to sift through the lies, she's my go-to girl for that one. So we will be having her on in just a bit. But again, we're taking your calls, 877-789-2539. And we will also, let me remind you, again, folks, the limited edition Life is Fiery with its beauty trench knife is available right now, 50% off on the site right now. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It is a limited time offer. You know, these things sell out quickly because you guys are big fans of these types of collectibles. So head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. It's a beautiful, beautiful one. I love it. Maybe I should grab it now and give it to my dad for Father's Day. And even if he's watching, he'll forget by Father's Day, of course. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and make sure you grab this limited edition knife because it's absolutely beautiful. And why not? Why not? 50% off, of course. And also every time you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com, let me remind you, you get 50 times the entries to win our crossover giveaway. As many of you guys know, we're always giving away a sick ride. And the only way you get it, potentially, you got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, support us, we'll support you. You potentially win $10,000 in cash as well. And there's also the Ford F-250 diesel plus as well. So head on over to the shop. When you buy, you support us. We try to support you with these great giveaways over at theauctionstore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new products, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after The Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. A little bit of sad news. I mean, the last report I saw said that Scott was taken to hospice, but unfortunately, it looks like we've just lost Scott Adams. Oh, TMZ is reporting that his ex-wife, and the stream's going on right now. I just saw Jack Posobiec is in it, but sadly he has passed away. his wife coming out and saying that he did pass, his ex-wife, I should say. Shelley is her name. She made the announcement today on his stream, The Real Coffee with Scott Adams. So the news itself is devastating, obviously, and this is a massive, massive loss. Scott Adams has passed away at the age of 68 after battling prostate cancer. Just, it's really sad. It's really, really sad. Let's take some calls right now before I turn into a girl and start crying. Let's take Savage Dog. Savage Dog, you got to deflect. I'm going to cry on air, and I don't want to do it, but Scott Adams will be missed.
Oh, yeah, go to me first.
I needed a friend who could deflect. What's going on?
First of all, we didn't lose him. Most of us didn't lose him. He just went home, and we'll see him in a minute.
Yeah.
Thank God he was safe before his pass. Thank God for his friends who helped him out with that. Anyway, damn it.
Sorry. Don't go to me, guys. Savage Dog, I had to put this on you because I'm like, this is going to be my guy right now.
Come on, man. Where's Clown Car?
I didn't see him on the list. He gives me a thank you. He gives me a good laugh from here and there. So, you know. But
dang
yeah,
it,
no, it's sad. This is a patriot. This is a guy who I've, you know, loved his cartoons. I've loved his story. I've loved watching his show. So this was sad news. And, you know, the Trump administration was trying to pull for him and we were all hoping for him. So it's just devastating news.
Okay. Well, here we go. Getting back to my complaint.
Yeah.
For you overdosing me on the hopium this morning with all the, oh, hey, you know, Bill and Hillary might be referred in grand juries, stirred up somewhere. And, you know, so the Treasury guy and cool story, bro. I mean, that's all I got about that. I don't care. I want to see him kick in Tim Walz's door and arrest him for treason and ship him down to Gitmo.
Yeah.
So there, that was that. But main reason I want to say, I'm a Marine. Enlisted in 92, you know, so I was there for the 10 seconds of the first Gulf War. Wasn't there. I was actually in boot camp. But, mm-hmm. you know, we're used to all these long, you know, 20 years of do nothing, quote, regime change, whatever. But now that we've done Venezuela, I am 1,000% in favor of helping out Iran and freeing them completely. To me, it's a no-lose situation. We don't need ground troops on, you know, all we need to do is fire up a couple cruise missiles into a mullah's bedroom, and, you know, we're good to go, and their revolution's done. We'll not only gain a major real ally, not an Islamic State ally like Saudi Arabia or Jewish state ally like Israel. We'll get a Persian ally. You know, they might be moon worshipers or whatever, but, you know, that would be a powerful ally. Not only will we gain it, we'd be taking it from Russia. Russia loses, we win. And then we continue this, show of force to the world that, hey, this is what we got, and this is what we're going to use, and this is going to be our, you know, the Don Rowe doctrine. We are going to be liberators. We're not starting wars. We're ending tyranny. You know, the right way. Now that we got the mod, right, with Venezuela, we can make this happen, and we're going to make it happen. And I mean, we made a promise, we should deliver. And for those who say it's not making America great, I just outlined how it is. You know, it's just for oil. Roger that. Not just for oil, but an ally. You know, you want 10 cents per gallon gas? You know. We can build, you know, that'll be two regimes down that tyranny's gone. Who's next? You think Cuba's going to sit there and throw their, you know, flex on us? No. Uh-huh. It's North Korea. Kim Jong-un better start thinking about those doggone condos on the beach again. That's what I got right now. I mean, Scott Adams kind of got me off. But.
I know. I'm sorry. I know. That caught me off, too. And I'm a big crybaby on that type of stuff. So you could expect that from me. But, you know, Savage Dog, I want to ask you, too, about the report that came out yesterday in regards to Venezuela, because maybe you'd be a better expert on this one. But there's these rumors, and you're really not going to find any physical evidence to back it up, but that there was directed energy weapons utilized in the capture of Nicolas Maduro, that those in the military said that they were like, hit with something. Some people are having hearing issues all of a sudden now, were kind of the reports. There was bleeding through the nose, vomiting, blood, other kind of symptoms, which do usually line up to the directed energy weapons. But, you know, we hear time and time again that we're doing these, or we're utilizing these weapons here in the United States. You know, I know, and I don't know if you saw the report, this is a couple of months back, but Steve Baker even put out a report saying that his sources claim that directed energy weapons were utilized against J6ers. That's why you saw so many people drop dead of heart attacks, go crazy. I mean, there was so much that happened. It was pure chaos. His sources told him that those weapons were utilized then. But we know that there's a lot of people still suffering with the Havana syndrome. There's been a great independent journalist who have interviewed the victims and all of this. So both, we know that the United States, we know Russia, we know China, they all have these weapons. What do you take away from this possibly being used against those military, it would be Cubans too, the service members who were in Venezuela protecting Nicolas Maduro?
I don't have any, like, empirical evidence. I have historical evidence and circumstantial evidence. Circumstantial being, how in the hell did a small, even Delta Force team, kick in the doors of the most heavily guarded compound in Venezuela, extract these two alive, and get out without barely a scratch?
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two, historical evidence. The first Gulf War, what happened was Soviet Union just fell. We're now the big boy on the block. One of the side effects, one of the goody bonuses of that war was that now we could show people our 20-year-old technology of stealth and, laser-guided bombs and missiles. We wanted to show them what we have, but it was old for us. Who knows what we really had? Trump came out earlier this year and said, we got Star Wars and Star Trek weapons. You don't even know what we got. Yeah. And these directed energy weapons are demonstrable. You could go on Wikipedia. You know, you could look at videos of the Army doing training on their soldiers, you know, with a big ass dish on the back of a Humvee, I think, or a 5-ton, and hitting them with it. And that was like 8-10 years ago. It's not like this is shocking to me. It's just that what is shocking is that also historically. Like, I was a contractor in Iraq in 2005, and I was all Oorah Bush until I got there, and I saw this is nothing but a big weapons buy for Halliburton, and war crime, war crime, war crime, war crime. It's not shocking. What shocks me is that we didn't burn a bunch of billions of dollars doing it and did a ground war, all right? We just went in and did it with what we got, and no problem, no worries. And you think there's going to be a problem in Iran? And like I'm seeing on the screen, I'm about 20 seconds behind on the screen I'm seeing, but you know, the directed energy weapons used in Paradise Fire and North Texas and in Hawaii, you know, we got the Jewish face laser, so to speak. Everybody wants to mock it as, you know, conspiracy, but Jewish face lasers exist, right? I mean, they are being used. We can hit them with that.
Yeah.
You know, Iran. It's not a, we don't have any worry whatsoever in going in. We don't have to, you know, do a Normandy invasion. We could just do it. I mean, we got the technology to do it.
Yeah.
Not to mention what we don't even know about. So there. That's my opinion. I don't have any expert opinion, but that's if I was presenting to a jury, that's what I got.
I like it. I like it. That's why I ask you these tough questions, my friend. So thank you for calling to the show, as you always do, and giving us your expertise. We greatly appreciate it. All right, let's turn to Robert in Florida. Robert, welcome to the show.
Brianna, how are you? I'm sorry for your how you're feeling about
thank God. You.
That's really sad.
Thank you.
Yeah, he was a great patriot. Real quick, I just wanted to bring up a couple of things that I thought were interesting. I was on X, and Wall Street Ape had reported that Justice Assistant Attorney Harmy Dillon says that she went after some Antifa rioters who beat journalists on camera at a protest.
Each of them were paid all their legal expenses by Soros. So I thought that was very interesting. Mm-hmm. And another interesting response to that was from an account called Logos Intel, and it says, "We have no Soros." I'm assuming he's MAGA. "We have no Soros, no GOP. We only have Trump surrounded by bad advisors on our side. We must unite and employ the same tactics that H-1B holders, Muslims, and Somalis do. Become a united block of power as a solid front." So I don't know if that has, if that makes sense to you, but it feels like MAGA is more fragmented and everybody's sort of doing their solo thing. Meanwhile, the NGOs have think tanks, they're coordinated, they're all organized. This is a disadvantage to America First MAGA. So I'm not sure what we need to do, but, you know, if we're dealing with a well-funded machine on the other side, I'm not sure how we're supposed to, you know, counter that, because we don't have NGOs supporting us. So that's something to think about. And regarding the H-1B, something that I don't see anybody talking about is how intellectual property is completely vulnerable. H-1B is not a guarantee to citizenship. Mm. H-1B is, you know, they're here, you know, they do their thing, and then they leave. So intellectual property is a complete vulnerability to all these companies. They're not thinking about these things, because if things start getting crazy and India has to side with somebody, India's going to side with BRICS. India's not going to side with us. So what happens in that situation? So two interesting things I brought up there to you. I'd like your thoughts on that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm going to look into the Harmeet Dhillon thing a little bit more. I know what you're alluding to. Okay, so when I was driving yesterday, I couldn't actually go through it all, but there was a sit-down interview she did with The Blaze yesterday, and I wanted to hear it. So I think that's where it might be coming from. So I want to listen to that full clip. But I know that she, and I know I've heard, Nick Sorter, you know, detail that they're helping him over at the DOJ. So maybe that's what might also kind of be looped into all of it. But, so that one I'd have to look a little bit further into for sure. I was just trying to flip through it to see if I could find it, but I couldn't. I want to listen to the full thing. You know, the H-1B, you bring up obviously the theft of, our property rights here in the United States. And I don't understand why more companies aren't worried about it. You know, Robert, it's a fair argument to make. I have to look at how many of them actually do leave, or how many of them actually stay put and come back and stay in this country. I know that they're supposed to, but I just think it's all really, really interesting. I don't know why they don't care more about that, though. I think you raise a good point in all of this, that it's the theft of obviously our property, or these private companies, their property as well. It's obviously been a big issue with the Chinese. And so I think it's kind of crazy that they're just so willing to hand all that over and to allow them access to this kind of privy information. So yeah, Robert, I think you're spot on there, but I'll get you back on the Harmeet Dhillon one, because that was on my list of things to listen into. I believe Trevor Show was yesterday, but I was flipping through it on The Blaze. I did notice that she did a sit down interview with them. So I will get back to you on that. But Robert, thank you for calling. I greatly appreciate it. I know there's a lot of you who want to talk H-1B, so I want to get to as many as I can. So let's turn to Brian in Ohio. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brianna. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Brian?
Hey, I'm doing great. First of all, I wanted to say you're doing an amazing job. I'm a longtime InfoWars listener. I remember meeting Alex back in 2006 in NYC at the fifth anniversary of 9/11. I'm an alumni of some of his reporter contests and Operation Paul Revere. But I wanted to get into H-1B visas and kind of how it affected me and probably a lot of others of my generation. So I'm in my early 40s, you know, and I recall you always heard, you know, from I'll just say it, and no hate intended, right? Nothing but love. But you hear from kind of your boomer parents, right? Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And I can tell you, at least for myself and those, you know, in my sphere of influence, you know, we've been doing just that. So, you know, how the H-1B visas affected me, and just kind of a real quick DEI aside, something that I think gets missed is, you know, I was back in 2014, I was working for a big company. I won't name it. A big insurance company, And I saw kind of the beginnings of DEI, right? So I worked my way up from the ground floor as a sales rep all the way up to management, and then DEI comes around. Well, being a person, you know, I'm multiracial, right? I identify as much as Caucasian as I do Black. I think, you know, both sides of my identity are valid, and, you know, you got to love your whole self. But I can tell you that there was this push for DEI, and oftentimes, at least for me, you know, you would get these nudges from leadership that, hey, this is the path, this is the path. So, you know, long story short, I got involved in it, but I always did it kind of from an InfoWars perspective of trying to advocate for diversity of thought, right? And that's just what I did. But I can tell you, eventually, it became too egregious, and it ended up, you know, I had to take action against my employer, you know, subsequently, you know, one through the EEOC. But I say all that to say, oftentimes there's this label of a diversity hire, and I want to challenge all of my people out there in across corporate America who may be involved in DEI to just think, look at it from another perspective, because I can tell you from my experience, it's exploitative. In fact, I refer to DEI from my perspective as a diverse, exploited individual. I mean, they will do things like if you go to these corporate websites and you see that smiling multiracial person or whatever, a lot of times, and in my case, this happened. You went to this company's IT, it was my face right there at a keyboard. They pay for these photo shoots. They don't pay the people for doing it. They're saying, it'll help your career. Well, yeah, it helps your career until you get labeled a DEI hire. So I just wanted to throw that out there because I think I don't want us to lose people who could be advocating, you know, for making America great again by just slapping that label of DEI hire. Because I could say for myself, you know, I was one of the highest performing sales managers they had before I moved into IT. But now let me get to the H-1B visa. So I've been working as a IT program or a project manager in some capacity for the past 5 years. And I can tell you that, you know, you'll see it. And especially, you know, and we all know it, you'll hear people from India. I've got some great friends who, you know, are on H-1B visas, and they'll tell you, it's basically a joke. Like, they go into this call it a pipeline, where they're getting these bare minimum Indian certifications. It could be things like they're a certified scrum master or a product owner, all these agile methodologies. And then they come over here on H-1B visas. They're getting these jobs everywhere. I've seen it in my current role where I work in a Democratic city running a big platform. And then I saw it in my last role for a big insurance company. But those folks are being exploited too, right? So I just think, you know, I think Trump's doing a lot of great things. I'm a little leery, or very leery, right? I'm a single father, a 10-year-old boy. I don't want to see, and you know, when he's eligible for the draft, him go into some foreign war. I think old men have sent young men off to die for too long, right? I would like to see Trump focus as much attention as he's doing on the international stage here at home. And I think the H-1B visa is a huge one. I know it directly would impact me because I'll tell you what, they always say there's all these jobs in IT. I've been actively applying. I am employed for a municipality, but I'll tell you, I make significantly less than I made in the private sector, significantly, 40,000 less, mm-hmm. right? And they don't look twice at you, and especially if you don't have a degree like myself. Now, granted, you know, I believe that you can build on competencies. So I use the same competencies to be effective in sales as I used to be effective in management, and those companies help me manage projects to great success, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'd love your thoughts on it, but I do want to say I think you're doing a great job. And one of the things that you do best, Brianna, is I love that you are, you know, submitting those FOIA requests. And, you know, I've heard you talk about doing, you know, these parties, et cetera. And I think that's what we all need to do on the micro level. I know that's what I did against my prior employer, where I spoke out about DEI, you know, and I was able to settle. But I think that's what we need to consistently do. Each of us take our own sovereignty and just respectfully, legally, and lawfully push back. And I would suggest do so in writing, right? So there's that paper trail. Because the other thing I'll see is, you know, a lot of these folks, you know, they don't, these petty tyrants, they will tell you one thing to your face and then completely lie when it comes down to, you know, having it substantiated in writing, et cetera. So great job, but I would love to see Trump really put the kibosh on the H-1B visas because we've got plenty of people who are either, you know, beginning their IT careers like me with, you know, 5 years experience, or those that could do it. So that's all I had to say.
Yeah. Well, Brian, thank you first off for your compliment in the open and throughout it. I appreciate you. Yeah, I'd say everyone should get involved locally and definitely do the FOIAing because you could do it at your own level, county level, whatever it is, your police department. I mean, you guys see how well that worked out for me over my police department. So I'd highly recommend everyone do just that. We've done episodes where we walk you through on how to do it. I've had my attorney on to tell you how to do it. So it's definitely something that everyone should be doing now. I like how you talk about the DEI angle to all of it and being more of a diversity in thoughts. That's really critical. You know, it's funny too, when you mentioned the photos, the DEI photos. When I went to college, this is 2011, freshman year, when they had me and everyone else like gather around, and they actually just picked me to be like the DEI girl in front of the, cause it was all men in the group that I was with. And so they took pictures of me on campus, and I was actually on the recruitment website, for those to join our school. And, I was there for, and I would joke all the time and just say, oh, they just only put me up there cause I'm a female. Cause at the time when the pool of people they had to select there, it was all men, but for some reason they used my face, and they actually used my face on the website in upstate New York for over 10 years. So I always get a good chuckle when I go to other people's websites and I see that like they've got the couple of minority employees there and they put them front and center on the website. To me, I laughed. I thought it was funny. I joke and said that I'm owed money, but I can only imagine what it's like for those employees to be pushed out there as the DEI hires. Yeah, I'd say it's pretty unfortunate for them. But yeah, no, I mean, I think you made a bunch of great points on that front too. I also believe that President Trump, although he's doing a great job, I think it's trying to push back on the H-1B visas. I mean, so much more needs to be done. And, I feel bad for people who do work in IT, because I know a lot of you guys are losing your jobs and, they're being outsourced. And so my empathy is with all of you. So Brian, thank you for calling into the show. I appreciate it, of course. And, you know, I want to get to Bulldog. Bulldog, we have about 90 seconds. I'm going to give this one to you, but everyone else on hold, stay put, because we're going to bring Annie Cyrus on in just a bit, and we'll go back to callers in about 20 minutes. So, Bulldog, the floor is yours for 90 seconds.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Ms. Morello. Just wanted to say, methylene blue, cranberry juice in the morning is how I start my day, and listening to the American Journal.
Ah, thank you.
Outside of that, I just want to add, you made a comment earlier how Jerome Powell is not lowering the interest rates, and that's driving the younger generations toward communism. I believe that's strategic. That's what they want to do.
Yeah.
Next thing to that is the crash out of Dan Bongino. You know, my thing with Dan Bongino, had a lot of respect for him, but if he had put as much effort in as going back into the podcasting while he was in that position that we put our confidence in and exposing what went on, Dan would be in a lot better place. Bondi, got to go. He's got to go. There's just so much. And I agree with Savage Dog. I'm ready for him to go in Minnesota, kick in Tim Wall's door, and take his butt to Gitmo.
Yeah. Yeah. You and I both, my friend. You and I both. Bulldog, thank you for that. Yeah. We'll see how Bongino plays that his show comes back in February. I posted about it because, you know, I was friends with Bongino before he went in. We were cheering for him. So I think he has to have a discussion. You know, the focus doesn't need to be on podcasters and going after other people. The focus needs to be on what happened internally. Tell us what happened. I mean, obviously these aren't the results that I know he was internally hoping for. That's just my opinion. That's not anything that he's voiced to me, but we expected all more from him. And so we'll see how that all plays out when he comes to the airwaves, of course. Folks, if we're on hold, stay put. We got more to discuss in a bit. In the meantime, head on over to thealkshowandsore.com. The limited edition Life is Fiery with its beauty trench knife is on sale. 50% off for a limited time over at thealkshowandsore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said,
This was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after The Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot of news breaking in this show today. We'll get to some of it, just give you a little quick recap. But if you're on hold right now, stay put. We have Annie Cyrus joining us in a little bit to join, to give us the breakdown as to what's going on right now in Iran. Then after that, we will jump back on and grab some more callers, of course. So stay put. We'll probably get to calls back in like 20 minutes, I'd say. In case you're just getting back in the loop of things, let me just tell you, we're kicking off the third hour of the program with a lot of breaking news, like I mentioned. The first one was Hillary and Bill Clinton both refusing to come in front of the Oversight Committee. James Comer obviously making them, forcing them, trying to force them to come forward and testify in regards to Jeffrey Epstein. Looks like that's not going to happen. They've put forward a letter claiming that they're now fighters for this country and they're going to be fighting. And even if it means the consequences might possibly mean prison time, they're still fighting. Isn't it crazy to try to switch this and flip it and make it seem like you're a patriot? When this is all about pedophilia and the allegations facing your husband, who was consistently heading over to Epstein Island and was hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein. There's a lot of questions about that, but of course now they don't want to have to speak about it on the record. So let's see if they get the Steve Bannon or maybe Peter Navarro treatment now. Let's see. The ball's in the DOJ's court probably in a couple of hours, I'd say, because obviously James Comer has to do a criminal referral, and then we'll see what happens there. But obvious garbage from the Clintons as usual. We also covered the devastating news of Scott Adams passing away at the age of 68. It's obviously heartbreaking. His ex-wife just announced his passing, and that was a heartbreaking story, of course. So our thoughts, our prayers are with him, and we're, you know, obviously going to be following all of this as it continues to develop, because Scott Adams was a patriot. I know so many of our audience members did enjoy hearing him speak. He did an incredible show, and he's fought the good fight for quite some time. So, rest in peace, Scott Adams. That's a real rough one over there. And it's crazy because I'm going through my Twitter feed, and so many people who knew him personally. I actually never met Scott, but I did really enjoy watching his show. And I did enjoy hearing his thoughts. I didn't always agree with them, but I just thought, like, this, he's well thought out. So you couldn't really hit him there. But it's interesting to see, as I'm going through Twitter, all of the people who knew him dearly and loved him dearly and knew him personally. And we're just, everyone's really heartbroken over this. You know, he obviously kept us up to date with his cancer battle, and it's just absolutely devastating news. A massive, massive loss. We're also following everything that's going on right now in Iran. I know we're going to have Annie Cyrus on in just a little bit. She's trying to verify the numbers in regards to how many Iranians have been killed. As many of you guys know, we're hearing a lot of numbers. At first, it was 300, I heard. And then the number went up to, I believe, like 12,000 and then 20,000. So the numbers are all over the place. I know she's right now trying to verify how many people have been killed in all of this. But again, there is also even a man who is set to be executed later today, and he's in his 20s. And he was one of the individuals at these protests. He is sadly going to be executed and hung. President Trump saying, like, I think he's hitting his breaking point. Enough is enough. Sending a message out on Truth Social saying that, you know, make Iran great again. But most importantly, there might be some U.S. Influence coming soon, we'll say. So we're waiting to see that. He says help is on the way is the exact quote. It's on its way. So we'll keep following that as it develops, obviously. That's going to be a big one. We'll have Annie on in just a few moments as well. We will also have the former spokeswoman for Mr. President Donald J. Trump, Liz Harrington, on the program. A lot to talk to her about. She's one of the very few who will openly discuss our disappointment related to the DOJ. President Trump, according to the Wall Street Journal, is getting really kind of angry at Pam Bondi. He's expressing his frustrations with aides internally over at the White House, and they're upset, rightfully so. We haven't really seen much of the way of movement. We're hearing these little whispers about grand juries and investigations popping up. But I mean, guys, we're about, what, a year into this? So don't go anywhere. We got more to discuss in a little bit. In the meantime, head on over to thealkjonesword.com. The limited edition Life is Fiery with its beauty trench knife is available right now for a limited time. It's 50% off. So head on over to thealkjonesword.com right now. Make sure you get it before we sell out.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We are trying our best to kind of get through a lot of the information regarding Iran right now. Obviously, as I opened up the show with, we're hearing all different death counts. Annie Cyrus has been trying to confirm the exact number. She's going to join us in just a few moments. But President Trump putting out a Truth Social post, because I think he's seen enough. He's seen enough. He put out a Truth Social post saying, you know, make Iran great again, obviously, and then help is on the way. It kind of sounds like he's saying here, help is on its way, I should say specifically. But, you know, the president is done with this, saying that he's over with the senseless killing of protesters, obviously saying it needs to stop. The president is probably going to make a move at this point, because it's very, very clear that the government itself is not going to stop anytime soon. There sadly is a man who is set to be executed later today. One of the protesters, this one actually like broke my heart when I was reading this story this morning, but he is going to be hung. And I mean, he's just a protester. It's not like he's accused of a violent crime. This is just an innocent man who is now going to be killed by the government. And I think President Trump is going to hit his limit with all of this. We're going to play clip 8 because previously, or I guess I should say earlier this week, he did make a threat to Iran specifically in clip 8. Take a listen.
We're watching the situation very carefully. I've made the statement very strongly that if they start killing people like they have in the past, we will get involved. We'll be hitting them very hard where it hurts. And that doesn't mean boots on the ground, but it means hitting them very, very hard where it hurts. So we don't want that to happen. There have been cases like this where President Obama totally backed down.
Yeah, Obama did back down. Now, again, there have been, and the details are just heartbreaking. all these young people being executed by the government. It's not okay to do. Obviously, we all know this. Whether the United States actually goes out there and intervenes, you know, we heard from one of our callers, obviously Savage Dog, saying, you know, we have nothing to lose at this point but to go out there and save these people. And we could do so with very limited risk to Americans as well. So, you know, we're watching that as it develops, of course. But again, President Trump also telling U.S. citizens to exit Iran immediately, obviously in the wake of all the unrest in the country. President Trump also saying that any country that's doing business with Iran will face a tariff rate of 25% on all trades. That's also another threat that he issued yesterday. So obviously this is very, very, I think this is rapidly kind of escalating at this point. Also, it's worth noting, and I think this is just propaganda, but there are reports that U.S. weapons and explosive devices were found in several homes in Iran. That's according to an intelligence report. Again, I think that's probably just propaganda, but joining me to discuss is obviously a woman who's very, who I would assume, you know, Annie, you're very emotional about this because, you know, this is your country, these are your people, and they are fighting for freedom right now. And, you know, Annie, you've fought this battle. You continue to fight this battle. You've had to leave. You're here in the United States right now, but there's a lot of reports not getting in a lot of accuracy because they turn off the internet. They've limited their outreach to the rest of the world, but you're trying to reach out to those who are still there. What are you hearing in regards to the death counts and what's happening right now on the ground?
Right before I jump on with you, I did report myself that we have confirmation that at least 12,000 have been killed, majority under age of 30. We still have confirmation 9 under age of 18, so children. And at 9:16 Eastern time tonight is the scheduled time for Erfan Soltani, 26-year-old Iranian who was arrested. He was part of the first batch of arrestees on the first and second day of this revolution. He is scheduled to be hung at 9:16 p.m. Eastern time tonight. And though his story is just as heartbreaking as the rest of them, he's not the only one. Tonight, the first batch will be hung. The Supreme Court, Sharia Supreme Court of Iran, approved two laws per approval of the Supreme Leader. One of them was shoot to kill, and that's how we ended up with 12,000 at least killed. The second one was all those who were arrested in last 2 weeks will not face trial. They have been automatically convicted of muharabeh, which is waging war against the law, and the punishment in the books are pretty clear for that crime. It is execution. So the plan is to execute all of them, but the first batch of 100-plus will be tonight at 9:16 p.m. Eastern time.
Well, the president, Annie, put out a statement on Truth Social, and he's letting, you know, Iranians know that help is on the way. Are you hearing anything in regards to that? Because it kind of sounds like that message. I mean, he's canceling his meetings and something's going to happen. I mean, he might possibly be trying to save these people. He does have a few hours left to try to do just that. But are you hearing anything in regards to the U.S. response to all of this?
I am, and on a very private message, which the person I have sent that message has agreed to publicize it if it happens. I was asked on Friday, what do I think? And I said, sometimes Tuesday, 5 p.m. Eastern time, we can be expecting a strike. That is today at 5 p.m. Not because I'm some prophet, by the way. Just I'm very good at tracking patterns. Based on the patterns I have tracked from last Wednesday, Delta Forces landing in Erbil, Iraq, to yesterday afternoon, early afternoon, around 1:30, 2 o'clock our time, some of our jets flying out of Qatar, getting closer to Iran area. Militarily, it makes sense that we are getting ready. And I think, or at least I pray, what President Trump is exactly the plan, meaning hitting them where it hurts. There are 5 buildings. They've been there forever. We have the locations. We have the coordinates. If those 5 buildings are taken out, it's done. Officially done. So I pray that is the plan, to take out those 5 buildings and just come back home and let the people do the rest.
Yeah.
I do believe that this help is, first, we need to keep in mind, this is the first time President Trump has directly not only talked to people of Iran, but he has repeated the call to action of Prince Pahlavi, stay on the streets. This is the first time President Trump has said that. He is not the type of person who's going to tell people to stay on a street unless he knows he can somewhat help them with their safety. That's my take on that that truth. So if you read it over and over, there are so many hints as this is the help we've been all praying for. I wish it would have happened before 12,000 Iranians died, but we'd be grateful even today if we can at least stop the row of executions that seem to be taking place publicly to make an example of those who were arrested. So praying.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, Annie, you sent me this tweet about, this is from his title, and I might be mistaken this, but the former crown prince of Iran. You sent me this on Friday in regards to his pleas for the president to step in and to intervene. He's also just recently, he's doing a corporate media tour, and he's trying to speak out and try to save these Iranians who are being killed, but he also doesn't want them to back down anytime soon. Let's take a listen to clip 9.
Well, that's not accurate. There has been cracks in the regime. Defections are beginning to occur. In fact, as I said, there have been an outreach of elements that I've already said that are prepared to do that at significant levels of authority, both in the armed forces side as well as the civilians. They know that this regime is on the verge of collapse. They need to be ensured that they can really have a place in the transition, a place beyond this regime. And that's exactly the kind of dialogue we have with those elements. Khamenei, the first thing that happened during the 12-day war, he was hitting on the ground in a bunker. They are gearing up to escape from the country. They are loading up planes to take off and maybe end up in exiling themselves. That's how close it is. This is the when we get intel from inside the secret meetings within we call it Beit Rahbari, which is the supreme leader's sort of inner circle of decision making. There's a lot of demoralized people sitting right there, including Khamenei himself. As I said, they are just using brutality just to hope that they can yet again intimidate the country and in total obscurity go ahead and do whatever they want to do. But what's different this time is people have had it. They're committed to liberate themselves. And I think Iranians know that unlike the past that they were thrown under the bus, at least under two different administrations, the first time in 2009 and Barack Obama was in charge, and lately under the Biden administration, which basically gave the regime in a mode of appeasement an opportunity to gather second steam. It's not going to happen this time.
Okay, Annie, do you agree with that statement? Because I know last time when we had you two on the show, we were talking about the possible, the Iranian leadership right now. Currently, there are reports saying that they're getting ready to flee to Russia, but you disagreed with that report. Do you actually think now that they're picking up and ready to leave because they know it's about to get really bad for them?
I do agree with pretty much all of his statements, specifically that this time is different because people have had it. If you look at the gap between each uprising, you come to realize that people have had it. I have also have reports and confirmed reports that most of their family members have been already evacuated from Iran. And yes, I did disagree. I still disagree that he's going to go to Moscow, but I don't disagree that they might try to get him out of country. My reasoning for your audience who might think, why am I guessing all this? Reports had confirmed that 3 days ago, one of the Iraqi generals, who's a very brutal man, headed to Iran. We had confirmation he arrived on Saturday. And I've been saying from day one, if Khamenei needs to escape, it's going to be Iraq. I do strongly believe, yes, he brought his man to do the crackdown, but they're also there to safely escort Khamenei out of Iran into Iraq. That's my information. That's where I'm going with. Mm-hmm. Yes, if he decide to go, he's not going to go to Moscow. He's very aware under pressure. Putin might very well hand him over. So he's going to go to Iraq where his own military will protect him to their last breath.
Yeah. Well, Annie, we're going to be watching this as it develops, obviously, and this is going to be rapidly developing. So I'm assuming we're probably going to have you back on the program later this week. So we appreciate you joining us now. And if you hear of anything, obviously send it my way because we would love to break that to our audience and continue to follow what's happening right now in Iran. Folks, if you want to follow it for yourself as well, she has a great job on her Substack. Head on over to liveuptofreedom.substack.com. That's liveuptofreedom.substack.com. liveuptofreedom.substack.com. Annie, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it. And, you know, we're going to keep praying, obviously, because this is going to this is going to get really out of hand. I have a bad feeling about later today. We hope the United States could at least help out. President Trump could help out. So we'll keep our eye on that. So thank you, Annie.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Annie Cyrus, folks, make sure you give her a follow as well. All right. We are going to keep taking callers. I know a lot of you guys were on hold, and I want to make sure we got to everyone if we possibly can. So let's dive back into some calls. I see Joe. Joe wants to join us. Joe, welcome. I hear you want to talk about a couple of different things, fraud, ICE raids, and watching and waiting. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brianna. Yeah, it just kind of amazes me, you know, that we still don't have any accountability, and you know, the whole deal in Minnesota is like I don't think people understand as a whole. I know a lot of people do, but I mean, we're in some dangerous times, and if Trump loses the midterms, which I think he's going to, we're done. I mean, I think people need to draw their line in the sand, and I think we're physically going to have to take this country back. I mean, more than likely, it's already too late, but at least we can say we tried. I mean, nothing's getting better. The American people are getting taxed to death. All these foreigners that are coming over here, they get put at the front of the line. I know this older gentleman who's a veteran, served in Vietnam, right? He was telling me not too long ago, he gets $1,400 a month from Social Security, right? Mm-hmm. Worked his whole life. That's what he gets. And I know some illegals that get more than twice the amount that he does. And I know people, and too, I know, you know, Americans that don't work to get more than he does too. I mean, this system is broke, and we're in some dangerous times, and we need more men like Lavoie Finnegan, people like that who drew their line in the sand, even though they took them out. But, you know, but at least we can say we tried, because if Trump loses the midterms, it's over. Like, they wanted it to be over 5 years ago, but,
yeah,
you know, but anyways, that's what I'm thinking. And, I mean, it's just, it's horrible. And I think we need to put more of our focus on home. You know, I mean, we're saving all these other countries, and, but yet, you know, the American people are, you know, still barely making it, you know, getting taxed to death, just trying to figure out how to pay their bills. And it just seems like we really don't ever get nothing, you know. So that's my thoughts.
Yeah. Well, you're not alone. I know everyone's really frustrated. We're really getting angry with all of this. You know, I don't know if it's just kind of, it's a new year, so they're starting to kick it off with like a little bit more of a shake up. You're hearing little whispers, which kind of have me a little optimistic, in regards to finally some prosecution, some grand jury, some serious investigations hopefully happening and taking place. Again, I think they're cooking up a RICO charge down in Florida. So I got my eyes on that. But I mean, yeah, it's pretty frustrating. I mean, the fact that we continue to pay all this money and you just see it getting shuffled over to foreigners who are just taking advantage of our system. I would say, yeah, Joe, you're not alone on that. We'll see how it all plays out though. I want to be a little optimistic because we are seeing little signs of hope. I like hate doing like the whole, like, I don't know if we're going to save this country right now. I mean, now is the time. I mean, this is it. I mean, it's either we do it or we don't do it. So, I'm a little more optimistic on that front. 2026 seems to be off to a little bit of a better start, but again, it's all talk. I haven't seen much in the way of action, but I'm hoping that, maybe people will start hearing us when we get upset about these things and how there's a lack of action. They will start actually doing, you know, things that actually matter, like, making arrests. Joe, thank you for calling. I appreciate your, take on that. Let us turn to another caller, Eddie in Jersey. Welcome to the show.
How are you, Brianna? Can you hear me?
I could hear you, Eddie. Welcome.
Hey, great. Calling you from cold and sunny with a side of chemtrails in New Jersey. That's what the sky looks like today. I'm sure you can imagine exactly what that means.
Yeah.
I was calling today. I want to just make some awareness about Tina Peters, still in prison, January 6th Patriot, and some others who are still not communed yet. But yeah, Tina Peters, especially, she's sitting in the jail. I mean, what are we doing if we're not helping her?
No.
You know, that's pretty important. I hear, you know, we today on your show, you're talking about Iran, saving people in Iran. I mean, we got people here at home still political prisoners. You want to save people in Iran? You know, but Joe just said, focus at home. I agree with the last caller a lot. What are we going to save? A broken system? He's right. There's people getting taken advantage of us left, right, and center everywhere you look. You know, Minneapolis with the daycare centers. I mean, they're just like the fall guys. I mean, they're doing it. They didn't come up with the idea. I can promise you that. A couple of Somalis did not come up with this idea to start robbing us of daycare centers. It's been going on for a while. And, they're just probably going to take the fall for it.
Yeah.
Venezuela, let me tell you, there's still a city in Venezuela that uses gold for currency. All right. So, and they are very Christian people in Venezuela, believe it or not. They don't have usury. Okay. There's no lending money for interest, for profit in Venezuela. We're going in now. So, homosexuality is illegal, right? So, yeah, we're going to go into Venezuela and probably that's what will change in Venezuela. They'll be allowed to be gay and have credit cards. So, good luck, Venezuela. we're talking about somebody dying. And you just said somebody died with Iran in Iran or something. Okay, well, what about Ashley Babbitt? Okay.
Eddie. All right. You're really stretching this argument here. We have done enough coverage on Ashley Babbitt. I have spoken. We just listened to you ramble. Mute him for a second because I just listened to you ramble for a second. You're going to hear my rebuttal on this one. I've booked Ashley Babbitt's mom extensively on several different shows to talk about Ashley Babbitt's life. I've covered everything that's happened behind all of that. So we've done that. You're referring to Tina Peters. You referred to her as a J6er. She's right now. She's charged by the state and she's not a J6er. She's in prison right now because of she was trying to blow the whistle on election fraud in Colorado, and the Colorado state legislators obviously don't like her. The lawmakers don't like her. The officials, all these, like this, obviously the Secretary of State doesn't like her. She's spoken about that. I've met with her. She's an incredible woman. I've probably covered her story. I probably talk about Tina Peters quite often, at least twice a week on this show. So we do just that. I believe in helping everyone if we can, but obviously not on like the globalist level of helping. I help them with prayer, and I've obviously just spoke to you, and I just said to you too that we're not talking about an intervention or federal government intervening. I don't want that. But the reality of it is it looks like President Trump's angling for that, given the fact that we report the news here. I've got to give it to you in all different directions. Now, when it comes to Venezuela, I've also told you too that I don't really have a hot take on this one, because I'm waiting to see what specifically they're talking about in regards to all of this, because although they're telling you it's drugs, it's obviously not drugs as to why they went after Nicolas Maduro. There's something else there that they're not telling the American people. And so I usually wait before having a hot take on that. But, you know, obviously we're talking about people in Iran being killed. Yeah, the president's talking about that right now. So we cover our new show. But we've talked about it extensively about Tina Peters. We've talked about Ashley Babbitt. I've covered that extensively. I mean, I've literally texted Ashley Babbitt's mother, booked her on shows. We've told their stories before. I've covered J6 extensively. I mean, that's literally the bulk of my career. I used to write the guys in prison who were in prison and wrongfully being prosecuted. I sat down with Enrique Tarrio after he got out of prison and did a whole full interview, an hour and a half long interview. So, I mean, spare me the we're all like kind of pushing the foreign angle to all of this. I'm not doing that. I've literally spent and built my career off of helping Americans out. So, Eddie, thank you for calling in. We appreciate your take, of course, on that. But my rebuttal would be, yeah, I've done enough to help fight for the American people. We're going to cover foreign stuff, too, if it's up in the news cycle. But we have 3 hours a day. We can cover as much news as possible with 3 hours a day. And so a little foreign, a little domestic. We'll cover it all. We'll cover it all. Let's turn to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, welcome to the show.
They have also Kara Castronova, who was on InfoWars often. She focuses on Ashley Babbitt and January 6th. And your show, not just yours, but all InfoWars shows are one of the main focuses of the murder of Ashley Babbitt and January 6th. And just want to talk a little DEI and the H-1 visas and Rob Reiner, a tribute to his acting and directing, even though he did terrible, his policies are terrible. But I understand what you're saying, because I was saying, oh, like people come, like our ancestors work for less, and they're working for less, but it's a scam where the employers are just blatantly taking advantage and screwing over the American citizens. And historically, when our relatives came from Italy, the historical term Guinea was used derogatorily because we would work for the lower wage, which was apparently a currency or something. So speaking of Rob Reiner, the tribute on All in the Family, they're debating, and he goes, you know, the woman, Archie, should stay home and raise the kid. The man should work. And Rob Reiner's character goes, Arch, there's a tribe in New Guinea where the woman goes out and hunts and the man stays home. And he goes, oh, don't bring the Italians into this.
Andrew, we're up against a real hard commercial break, so hold right there. I'll bring you back in just 4 minutes. Stay put. We'll finish this up in just a second.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss, because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it. And it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you, because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish Sea Moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're with us. As you guys know, it broke on our show when we were on air. Bill and Hillary Clinton, they're MIA. They don't want to show up for their depositions in front of the House Oversight Committee. They actually sent over a letter to James Comer, who's the chairman of that committee, and they also sent one over to the New York Times as well, saying that they're patriots and they're going to fight for this country, even if it means that they're probably going to go to prison. I mean, those weren't their terms, but they said the consequences. And obviously, many of us aren't very optimistic that there's going to be something like criminal charges that follow. Those things only happen if your name is like Steve Bannon or Peter Navarro. So I'm a little skeptical when it comes to accountability on this front. But obviously the Clintons being very brazen enough to put out a letter and saying that they're not coming to their deposition to speak about Jeffrey Epstein. And obviously Bill's ties to Epstein. Joining me to discuss is the former spokeswoman for President Donald J. Trump. Welcome to the show, Liz Harrington. She does an incredible job at speaking out on critical issues like this. And Liz, obviously, we just got this breaking news just a couple of moments ago, maybe like an hour ago, but they were supposed to appear in front of the Oversight Committee to give their deposition, and it looks like Bill and Hillary are just MIA. They don't want to show up. They sent a letter over to the New York Times, as well as Comer, saying they're not coming, and then they try to make it sound like they're patriotic, that they're fighting this, and it, regardless of whatever the consequences are of their lack of appearance, I guess I should say. What's your reaction to this? Because, again, like I mentioned in the open, you know, if you're Peter Navarro, if you're Steve Bannon, this gets you locked up in prison.
Right. So should we be expecting to see a contempt for Congress charge, a DOJ going after and putting Bill and Hillary in shackles at the airport like they did to Peter Navarro? Sadly, no. That probably will not happen. And that's the problem. And that's why they think they can just get away with this and they can be seen as, oh, heroes, and they're following the law, when it's quite clearly the opposite. It's been the opposite their entire lives.
Yeah.
But it's just, this is kind of part of why everyone's so frustrated, right? You know, all this is going to be is some depositions and some hearings and some show. It's better than nothing. But then there's no real accountability. And unfortunately, it looks like we're not even get the hearing. We're not even going to get the show, because these people know there's going to be no consequences.
Yeah, and that's the problem with all of this is they're just so bold. I mean, they know that there's not any consequences for them. And so that's why they act this way. It's pretty frustrating, though, I must say. I want to get your take on this because, again, it's just a report, so we haven't received any confirmation as of yet. But the Wall Street Journal is claiming that President Donald Trump is voicing his concerns about AG Pam Bondi. The quote that specifically is being cited is as reference to her being weak and ineffective. Obviously, this is something that I think his base really agrees with. And so this report, if it's true, is I'm a little more optimistic after hearing him voice those same concerns. I know a lot of people like to refer to us as black pillars, but the reality of it is we've been waiting for something to happen. We saw what happened when the Biden regime was controlling the DOJ, and they were very quick to go out there and to arrest hundreds of J6ers and to slap on all of these charges, even trying to ask for terrorism enhancements. And so to sit back and watch as nothing's really happened under this current DOJ has been frustrating. But what do you make of this report so far?
Right. Well, always remember black pillars are the greatest threat to the republic known to man.
Yeah.
But no, I have an interesting take kind of on this article because you sent it over. So I wanted to read it. And I noticed one of the reporters on this piece is Josh Dalsey, who used to work for The Washington Post and now moved over to The Wall Street Journal. And he used to write these types of stories while I worked for President Trump all the time. And it seems that the same people that leaked to him back then are still leaking to him now. And the question is why. They're floating this out there. They're trying to see, you know, what the reaction is going to be. And I think they have somebody else waiting in the wings that will probably be worse than the results of Pam Bondi, because these people are very manipulative. And think of what happened. Be careful what you wish for. Jeff Sessions, first AG. Obviously, it did not go well. He was very weak. But then who did they have waiting in the wings? Who wrote a memo to try to, you know, butter himself up and make himself look good in the eyes of President Trump, criticizing the Mueller investigation? It was Bill Barr. And we all know how that turned out. He was way worse than Jeff Sessions, even though, you know, he said all the right things and appeared to be someone that he wasn't. So I think the problem here is, look, Pam Bondi is not actually running the DOJ. She's not, I don't know, she just deferred all the authority to other people. And so that's the real problem. And, you know, you needed someone in there that was going to be a killer. But the problem with that is, too, they have to be Senate confirmed.
Yeah.
And the swamp does not want that, you know, person who truly will seek justice, who doesn't care about their life or their livelihood or anything else. The swamp is going to do everything they can to block that. I mean, look what happened when Ed Martin needed to be Senate confirmed.
Yeah.
The Senate Republicans, our side, quote unquote, of course, did everything they could to block that. And he had to put him in a different position where I'm hearing he's trying to do great things, but he's being blocked. So you have these top two positions, AG and deputy AG, they're both Senate confirmed. President Trump's got to play hardball. Look, if any of this is true and he does want to replace her, do not just go with the person who sounds great, who all the same usual suspects are propping up and saying, you need to put this person in. They're great. Look what they said about you. Look what they're going to do on this issue or that issue. He needs to go with someone who he truly trusts, knows, do not care about the fame, the anything, the money, anything. They just want accountability. And he's got to say, screw you, Senate Republicans, play hardball and get the true justice champion that this country really needs.
Yeah. And just to remind our audience too, I mean, they're investigating now, the Fed chair, Jerome Powell. And then we heard Thomas Tillis over in the Senate come out and say like that he was going to hold up any replacement picks for Trump and try to hold up votes and stuff like that regarding the Fed. So again, there seems to be a problem here with those in the Senate, and I hope President Trump gets a little more aggressive with them because they're going to need him for fundraising. They're going to need him for reelection, and so that would be a great tool for him to utilize. And I'd like to see him get more critical on them because they've been holding up a lot of really key people that the president would that would help advance the president's agenda and help get a lot of these key prosecutions off the ground. Like you mentioned, Ed Martin, the fact that we allowed them just to stall and hold that up and just completely block it, which is so infuriating to sit back and watch it as it all played out. But you're right, Liz, on that front, too. And be careful what you wish for, because you never know who's running up behind who would be Pam Bondi's replacement. So it's definitely good insight on that front. I also want to talk about this. This is a big one. I saw you also comment on it. Tom Fenton over the weekend put this out, that the FBI leadership has fired no more than 138 employees. That's since January 2025, according to the OPM data. Now, over 3,000 employees have been, you know, retired and they've quit. So there's that also. But just keep in mind, like, I'm going to buckle down this number. The FBI has over 35,000 employees total. So 138 employees have been fired, it looks like, according to the data. Now, I know yesterday the president was posting about the Arctic Frost employees. He even referred to them as total scum as well in a True Social post when he was responding back to the Just the News article and the director, Kash Patel, coming out and saying that, yeah, we did fire those folks. But, you know, Liz, it's a little frustrating because last week we broke a story in regards to a woman who was disabled. She wasn't at the Capitol on January 6th, wasn't anywhere near there. And a DOJ official in an email that I got said specifically to charge this woman, even though they didn't have any evidence proving that she was at the Capitol on January 6th. And that DOJ official, I was told, was the one leading all the prosecutions for J6ers. Kenneth Quarter is his name, by the way. He is an individual who was redacted by, sadly, Senator Rand Paul's office. They blocked out his name. But, you know, he's someone who's still currently right now employed at the DOJ. And then I also heard the people who were involved in her investigation into that woman who we had on the show last week, that they're still employed by the FBI. So this just seems like drops in the bucket when we're talking about only 138 employees who have been fired so far out of over 35,000 who currently work for the FBI. Do you think they've done a good enough job in regards to kind of filtering through a lot of these rogue FBI agents who were, you know, politicizing the agency rather than doing what their job is? And that's according to their oath, is to follow the law and to not be politically biased. But do you think that the FBI director has done enough so far to kind of purge these people out of the institution?
Well, clearly not, because if you only have 138 firings, you had over 5,000 people alone, probably more than that, working on the J6 cases. What happened to all that, you know, hoopla about going back and forth, trying to get the names and identify the agents. And they took to court, you know, trying to block the own Justice Department from finding out its own personnel who worked on these cases. Well, what happened to that? Once they got the names, why didn't they fire them? And anyone who touched these cases, a message needs to be sent. Oh, this isn't going to be tolerated. You're not going to be able to do this next time. There's going to be real consequences, and firing is the least of it, right? And it's the bare minimum of what they should do. But unfortunately, I think they have, you know, he went out of his way, Kash Patel, to send a letter and leak it to the New York Post to fire the friend, a whistleblower, because he criticized him over the pipe bomber, which I think many people, myself included, think is a total patsy and not the true suspect. And so, again, we can't have this. That's the same. That's the old FBI, the same FBI, new rule, you know, same new players, same outcome. And we keep getting the same results. And we get these, you know, plots that the FBI has foiled that, oh, you look, you dig a little bit deeper and you see, oh, the FBI invented this plot. Once again, they haven't changed whatsoever. And that's because they haven't changed the personnel. They haven't, you know, decreased the size and scope of this powerful agency. I mean, they haven't done the true reforms. Instead, they say, oh, it's a, you know, meaner, leaner, you know, better FBI. Well, it's not much leaner. And it's certainly going to be worse next time if the bad guys get back in. You're actually fortifying it for them because you didn't bring accountability. You didn't enact the true reforms. So this is unacceptable to me. You can't have only, I mean, you said, you know, 3,000 people left, some people quit, some people left. Okay, that's good, but they're not going to be afraid of any accountability. You only fired 138 people, and you still have the person who opened Arctic Frost, according to other whistleblowers, is still at the FBI. Obviously, we've talked about Jocelyn Ballantyne. She's still at the DOJ. Mm-hmm. We can't have this. We can't have the same people and expect anything to change. It's not. And sadly, I think that's the point. They make it look like they're doing something good, and look, all these arrests we've made, look at these numbers. And then what we really wanted, what we desperately needed, the accountability and the cleaning up corruption, we're not getting.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the part that's so frustrating, I think, for so many people to sit back and watch. And, you know, Liz, obviously, you know, when you and I talk, we often cover election fraud because that's something that you're really passionate about, completely going after. And unfortunately, you know, there are some great people, Tom Fitton being one of them, who through Judicial Watch is doing a great job at trying to clean up the voter rolls, but not enough is being done. But I mean, there's kind of a bit of a positive note. You know, in Oregon, they've removed, what, 800,000 people from their voter rolls. And I know Tom Fitton was posting about that because he's obviously very prideful on that front, because that's something that he's taken on and he's looking to combat. But again, your reaction to this, because it's 800,000 people, that's a massive amount of people, obviously. But it's just so frustrating because they're one of the very few people who are pushing for this, cleaning the voter rolls, and who are doing a great job at making sure that it does happen. But again, I don't think we're really seeing much from Republicans, though.
Right. And, you know, it's kind of the same old story, right? You go in, you get these great wins, which take a long time and a lot of work, and they do great work over there at Judicial Watch. But then by the time that the state or the counties and these left-wing districts clean the rolls, then they've added new ones. They've added new phantom ones, so you have to start all over. So again, you need real authority. You know, Judicial Watch and others have given the information. It's there. It's for the taking. Now it's time for someone with real authority to go in and do something about it, clean it up. And Tom Fitton posted how, you know, many of these counties had over 100% registered voters than their population. I mean, that's obviously ripe for fraud, and you know why they do it. They can easily pull names. They don't care who it is. They literally don't care. It's not even about like the non-citizens versus the citizens voting. It's literally just a name on a list that a computer can plug in when you need it. That's it. And that's how the fraud, a lot of it, occurs. And so we have to get rid of this election system that is so fraudulent. We have to get real great leaders within the Justice Department to go in, enact. President Trump already did the executive orders. Yeah. You just need to go out and do it. They need to withhold the funding in all of these states. that are not complying with election laws and not running sound elections. It's very simple. He already gave you the authority. You're not doing it. And so we can't, there needs to be some changes then, I think, at the top in those positions. If they're not willing to touch 2020, if they're not willing to go after elections, which to me has got to be the number one priority, because nothing else can change if we don't have a fair vote next time.
Yeah, and I think that's a big one, too. I'm going to keep hearing about midterms and how if we lose during midterms, the Black pillar is false. But I think that if we lose in midterms, it's due to the fact that there's a lack of hustle amongst Republicans right now, lawmakers right now. They're not motivating people to go out and vote because they're not doing anything. And then it's also the election fraud issue, which is something that many don't want to take on right now. So, Liz, I'd say that's probably is the more of the reason why we might lose out in the midterms this year around. I don't want to obviously see that, because I know it wouldn't go well for President Trump. He'd have a law that he has to combat constantly. So that's not something we want to see happen, of course. But again, it's just so crazy. It really is so crazy. And Liz, before we go, I wanted to get to this story too, because I want to kind of give some credit where credit's due. It looks like right now they're laying out the groundwork to go after a lot of the fraud that we just talked about, but specifically the fraudulent spending of our taxpayer dollars that have gone off to Somalian groups and others. But there was just recently a report that the Department of Housing and Urban Development likely paid out more than $84 million in ineligible assistance in Minnesota during during Joe Biden's final years. I always try to avoid that word, but I'm reading it for the corporate media outlets. But Liz, I mean, this is a big one, right? Because we're now hearing that they're going to appoint a certain, they haven't named it yet, but they're going to appoint a U.S. attorney to go out there and investigate a lot of this fraud. Are you hopeful that there might be some accountability that comes from this?
Yes, I should say that was one good point, right? In out of all of this, that story about Pam Bondi and everything else is, supposedly, I didn't know, but this new attorney general position will report to the White House to go after the fraud. That would be a great development, and maybe we'll see some actual movement. Because honestly, it does seem like the people in the White House, they've been all over this. They really want real accountability to occur here. So that looks optimistic. We'll see who gets put in that position. you always have to be wary, but there are types of stories like this all the time, and, you know, all this money going to dead people. And it's like, well, wait a second. Dead people don't cash checks. So where is this money actually going? Why can't you claw that money back if it just went to, you know, quote unquote dead people? And so it's just fronts for fraud, and it's been going on for years, for decades, and it's got to stop. So I am hopeful that that something like this can really get momentum, and it's captured the nation. People are interested. They want accountability. Hopefully at least something will happen on that front.
Yeah, hopefully something will happen. And by the way, I just turned to X real quick and noticed that Bill Clinton did put out his letter on a tweet regarding his failure to appear in front of the House committee today. But he's saying that this is not about right or left. He's trying to make this seem like this is something that he's doing for to save this country right now. But he also turned off his comments on his tweet, so you can't comment on it, of course, because he doesn't want people to see how much this country despises him. No surprise there. Liz Harrington, thank you so much for joining us. As always, we greatly appreciate your insight. And thank you. Thank you for being one of the very few who is truthful on all these issues, because many are afraid to say the truth. But Liz, you don't shy away from that. So thank you.
Thanks so much.
That is Liz Harrington. Give her a follow on X, Real Liz USA. That's at Real Liz USA. All right, folks. I know I put Andrew on hold, and Andrew, I did not forget about you in New Jersey. Welcome back to the show. Sorry for the long delay. You could finish your thought now if you still remember it.
No problem. Bill Clinton, imagine he actually said he didn't have sex with any of the underage prostitutes, which is a lie, but he said he's just friends with the guy that owns it, the island. So I think, imagine if I said to my wife, who wants to go to Thailand to visit her relatives, no, I'm not going to go with you this time. I'm just going to go to an island in the Caribbean where there's no statutory rape laws. But I'm not going to sleep with the prostitutes that are, I'm just friends with the guy that owns it. That's almost even worse. Like, even if he was telling the truth, which he's not, that's almost just as bad. You're saying you're friends with a guy that owns an island that's referred to as pedophile island, that sex traffic. So, like, either way, it's bad. But I want to say, too, with the liberal white women and the DEI, it was Savage, Michael Savage on Alex's show, he said it best. They think they're on a college campus. And we had like incidents where with guns, you know, Michael Calabrese, he's a reformed gangster known as the Preppy Don. Now he's Christian. But he said we would do the opposite. We don't argue with the police or threaten them. And my brother-in-law, too, who was young, he was into criminal activities. And he said the same. You say, yes, sir. You listen to the orders. And I one time went jogging at the high school near my house at night, and I left my car in the parking lot unlocked with the keys. And I guess because it was after hours, the cops thought somebody was trying to rob the school. And my wife calls the cell, you know, on the cell phone, the police are here because I live like three blocks away. So I saw them come back in, but I was at a distance, like a few hundred yards, and they didn't see me. And instead of flagging them down, I just let them leave because I was afraid. It's two guys with guns, you know, on their hips. And one time when I was younger, the cops pointed the gun at my friend right at his head because we were trespassing and drinking beers near my house in somebody else's yard. So I would never run my mouth, but the liberal white women, they don't have reality in poverty, and they cause poverty by their government dependency programs. And last example, I had to take like a women's changing role sociology class that they force you to take. And I was stunned. It was like, because it was a white liberal woman who was talking about poverty in the black community. And I was just thinking, wait a minute, you've never even been in the housing projects where the poorest black people are. You wouldn't last one day. You would get robbed. You couldn't survive there. You're not qualified. I said, my father worked 30 years in the inner city in the projects doing construction. He's qualified, just like Savage Dog is qualified to talk about Iraq. And I'm not qualified because I'm not military. So it was shocking. And the show In Living Color had come out, which was the black, like, skit comedy, except Jim Carrey was on it.
Yeah.
And the teacher actually approached me, the liberal teacher, like in the hall. And she goes, she was like, couldn't believe that black people would make fun of each other. So that just shows how completely out of touch they are. So yes, they think that they're in a college campus. But I'll leave you with the Rob Reiner, who did damage with his policies to take fathers out of the homes. But All in the Family, the effeminate husband Lorenzo, he doesn't work, and he's cooking, and he's Italian, he's cleaning, baking food. And Archie goes, there, Lorenzo, don't you think, because you're doing the housework and you're singing and cleaning, people will think you're gay. He says a different word. And he goes, oh, but no, people won't think that because you're Italian and those guys are always bothering women.
Oh, Andrew. It's always a great call when Andrew calls into the show. Andrew, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. You know, I took one of those women's right courses that you were kind of alluding to, and they didn't like me, those fire-breathing lesbians. They didn't like me. I said something to the degree of, in class, I said, women who just, like, watch too much reality TV are missing a portion of something in their life, and they're looking to fulfill it through reality TV because they're upset and depressed, and they all pounce on me, even the professor. So that was probably the most telling moment that I was not one of them. That was not one of them back in college. Thank you for everyone who called into the show today. We greatly appreciate it. And sorry if we didn't get your call. We'll try again possibly tomorrow. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's a limited edition. Life is fiery when it's beauty. Trench knife is available for a limited time, and it is 50% off. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Again, thealexjonesstore.com. You're going to want to snag this one before we sell out. And again, every purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com gets about 50 times the entries to win crossover giveaway. You can win a Ford Raptor plus $10,000 cash, maybe even win the Ford F-250 diesel plus another $10,000 cash. You never know. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. When you support us, we try to support you, and we enter you into this contest and hopefully put some cash into your pocket if you win. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. The Alex Jones Show starts next.
People can use this as a teaching moment that, you know, I see a lot of these people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones, and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. part of that is, but the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it, just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.